Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Advise Show Radio, the station that brings you intense discussions about the hottest topics. Make sure you join us by calling in at 347-996-3350. Now, here are your hosts, Gabriella and the Advise Show.
What's going on, everyone? I want to thank you for joining us tonight for the show, Monday night. We're going to talk about racism in professional sports. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Now, Ms. Gabriella will be on the show probably a little later. She is taking care of some other important business matters. But tonight, we got Mr. Superboy 223 from YouTube to join in with us tonight to get his perspective, because this is one topic that he has really been speaking about from his whole time that he has been on YouTube. Now, we're going to also play the clip of Donald Sterling, the owner of the L.A. Clippers, making this racist rhetoric against black people, because he don't want black people at his games, in case you don't know what we're going to be talking about. But anyway, let me go ahead and bring in Harvey here for a minute. What's going on, Harvey?
Oh, nothing much. How's everybody doing?
We're doing all right. Now, a lot of people, pretty sure, know about Mr. Donald Sterling. Now, what was your initial reaction at first, Harvey, when you heard it? I mean, verbatim.
Verbatim? I started to laugh because, you know, as you know, this is why I do videos on pointing out certain things in the media and politics, you know, when it comes to racism. And then I started to shake my head because you have to ask yourself, for 30-something years, did the owners or David Stern or the players know what was going on? And then I started thinking about the women this man has been with. You know, how could he subject himself to be used that way? But then the last thing I thought about is how we're going to respond. Will this be one of those instances where the media talk about it over the weekend, and by Monday we forget? But considering it's the playoffs and considering that a lot more is to come out, yet to come out, just like it's going to be talked about for a while, I hope it does. Because it will probably try to wake some of our people up to realize it doesn't matter how much money you have, it doesn't matter how nice you claim to be with some people, they're still going to look at you as dirt under their shoe. That's just my observation.
Yeah, now my initial reaction, you know, when I first heard the whole situation, I was like, wow, listen at this guy here. But, you know, before I did my video on the situation, my attitude was this about that female. She's saying that she's black and she's Mexican, and she pulling up her pro-black and pro-Mexican fist all of a sudden. But all before, you knew that guy was racist like that, because that guy just didn't come up and start talking like that just in that phone conversation. That's why you knew to record him. So anything that I say against Donald Sterling is not in defense of her, because she is basically laying down with a racist just to get his money. Mm-hmm. What came out, the wife is suing Vanessa Stiviano for the $1.8 million that she has gotten from this man since she's been with him. I mean, she's just been a gold digger, just point blank. That's what she has been. But now, you know, he's going to cut off that money. So, okay, let me go ahead and expose him. You know how these females are. They're vindictive. They're going to get at you.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, and I want people to understand, so, because I've been getting people making comments on my videos making it seem as if, well, I'm letting her off the hook. I'm not. It's just that the thing is, we know who she is. Anybody who's powerful or have perceived power, they're going to have people around them, groupies and whatnot. She's only doing what other women have done in that type of situation. It's just that once his wife found out, he got to cut her off. She said, well, if I can't get any more of this money, I'm taking everybody down with me. And this guy said things around her before, because how would she know to take those type of conversations? And then you have the media not even playing the second part entirely, because it's going to make people like Malcolm X, the old Black Panther Party, new Black Panther Party, Dr. King, the late Khalid Muhammad, Farrakhan, Reverend Wright, and so many others look like prophets when everybody hear that second part, because a lot of people have not listened to that second part in its entirety. And the video I put up the other day, in the first video I put up about it, I went into all detail about who this guy was and what he's been doing. And you had to ask yourself, when the other owners, when they're going to say something. Mark Cuban, you're the first one in front of the camera. He's quiet all of a sudden. And you had to ask yourself, why did Michael Jordan? It took Jordan been in the league, well, been a part of the NBA since 84, right? And all these years, Jordan has never said anything. But now that he's an owner, and then by him talking to other players, they're going to say, Michael, you was in the NBA for 30, you've been in the NBA for, probably NBA for 30 years. You mean tell me you even heard anything from anybody? Then they're going to start asking his relationship with Jerry, I forget the owner, Bulls, Reinsdorf with the Bulls.
Krause,
the Bulls screw, Krause was the former GM, but Reinsdorf owned the Bulls and Sox. They're going to start asking him questions. A lot of people don't know that the owner, Reinsdorf and Krause screwed Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen them over after their last championship. Then there's going to be other questions that of these players not going to want to answer. Then he's going to really, then those brothers that wrote, that brother wrote the book, $40 Million Slaves, then they're going to start asking Quentin, say, are you guys truly our ball? Because me personally, I think the Clippers should never play yesterday.
Do you know, let's talk about that before I get to playing the recording for those who haven't heard it. A lot of people got mad at me, and I haven't really heard your video. You did the same thing. But I stated that I took it a step further. I said they shouldn't play, and I said they are some weak, no-backbone black men to sit there and play on a team with a known racist. And people were responding like, well, what do you expect them to do? They can't just quit their job. They got contracts. There are black men, especially black men, giving cover to a plantation slave master-sounding man. It's not like the head coach said it and the owner could say, hey, I don't agree with that. That's not this organization, and get rid of him. No, it was the owner, the guy who signs the paychecks. It's the one that said this crap. And you don't have no kind of pride within yourself as a man to say, you know what, I'm not playing. Say, oh, well, we're going to turn our shooting jerseys and everything inside out. Okay. And you still play basketball and you still made him money. What did that do? You want to hurt
did
him?
I say,
look,
I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm sorry.
Play. I would have sat out.
You know what? You know, this is the thing with me is that it tells you that we like shiny things. It tells you that the allure of getting a trophy that these guys are not going to have in their homes, just some damn rings they can go buy right now if they wanted to. You know what I mean? I mean, it's not that serious. I can understand this is John and Joe Q Public. You know what I mean? You know, where you got to go to work and bite your tongue because you know it's dependent on your mortgage and your utilities and your family fair. These guys are millionaires.
Okay, Harvey, let me stop you right there, too. Now, look. Yes, you deal with stuff at your job. If a supervisor was to say that kind of stuff at your job, you can easily get him or her fired for saying things like that. But I'm sorry, if the CEO or the owner of a company I'm working for would say the exact same words as Donald Sterling, I would not work for him. I'm sorry, I wouldn't. Because, I figure it out. I say, I come here looking for a job, I leave here looking for a job.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because you are not going to say, I don't want black people around. That goes, you know, for everybody in my family. You know, this guy said he don't want black people even at his games. That's about the men's children that will probably come watch their dad play, or they wives, a girlfriend, or whatever. They black, so you don't want them either?
See, I agree with you. No, I agree with you. What I'm saying is that I can get people using their argument for somebody like us blue-collar workers. You know what I mean? But at some point, even we got to say enough is enough. Cause I've walked away from government jobs before. I walked away from the post office about 14 years ago, right? What happened was the white managers were just messing with me. And you can hear him saying nigger and everything. And when you went to the supervisor, that was a white supervisor. I'm like, they're not gonna listen to me. Because you know how they got to the point, now they think we're playing a race car or a term, which I hate. But, you know, and I just said, the hell with it. I walked away from it.
You know,
and I got another job,
too,
a better paying job.
You know the term I hate, too, with a passion? Race baiting. I hate that term.
Oh, wow.
Every time black people stand up and say something about what's being said about them, it's something wrong with you for speaking up about it. It's nothing wrong with the perpetrator. It's something wrong with the victim for how dare they open their mouth to be told that what they're saying is wrong and racist. Every time, even on my channel, it's always something wrong with what I say about it, not with Donald Sterling.
But see, that's the point. See, they've gotten slick. What they've done is they won't see. They know that the stuff they did back in the '50s and '60s, it went against them. You'll never see that again. You may see somebody every now and then do some suit like that guy that shot those three people the weekend before last. You might get one of them, but you'll never see it. These guys are in business suits now. They work in the doctor's offices. They're your lawyers. They're your police officers. They're your teachers. They're in the military. They're your judges. And when me and you and any other brother or sister on YouTube try to point this out, we look like we're the bad guy because a lot of people don't – they feel like all these years we've been believing this and now we feel foolish, so we're going to hedge our bets and just hope for the best. That's the problem in the black community. We don't like to see reality. We want to live in this la-la land. And we sit back and think that, you know, one day they're going to wake up and say, you know what, gosh darn black people, we were wrong. It's not going to happen. Only way they're going to change their tune is that we pull our resources together and stop looking for them for their love and respect. Look how the gay community in less than 15 years turned everybody's mindset around about gay marriage. Because they said, we're going to get together, we're going to pull our money. If you don't do what we say, we're going to take our dollars away from you. That's why some of these advertisers are pulling away from the Clippers, because they're afraid that, wait a minute, these black folks may not buy State Farm insurance. They may not go to CarMax. The next step, what we should be doing is calling ABC, which owns ESPN,
Let me add to what you just said. Yeah, you're right. CarMax has pulled out. Virgin America, the airlines, pulled out. State Farm is say they're suspending their relationship with them for right now. Yeah, because that was something I was going to get to. They said they'll have no issue sponsoring the athletes, but the team, no. That's what their position was. And it goes right back to what I was saying earlier. You know what I'm saying? Like, here you go. You got white folks making moves, and black folks sit up here trying to find every kind of way to defend this dude. And that's kind of very sick to me in my stomach. How is it? I've seen so many comments from white people on my page say they wouldn't have played. You talk about gays. You know what? If all them players were gay, I promise you they wouldn't have played. I know the gays wouldn't have played.
They wouldn't have played. They stick together, and that's the sad part. That we as black folk, we just turn your jerseys around. Some of you doing grammar school. I'm sorry. You should have been men. Doc Rivers should have said, you know what? I'm not playing. Because he knew ABC and them would have lost revenue, and ABC and them would have said, look, Donald, you got to sell this team. You're costing us money, blah, blah, blah. Coca-Cola, McDonald's, whoever advertised that, they would have been on them. See, the thing is, we don't know how to play the game anymore. And that's what Malcolm X was telling us back in the day, that the only thing people respect in this country is money.
That's it.
And we haven't learned that. Have not learned that. See, I don't care if somebody's racist. People mistake my commentary that I'm worried about. No. You can be racist in your personal life. It's just when you enter the society at large, you gotta put that to the side. Whatever issues I have with the gay community, that's my personal issues. When I step out of the door, I gotta put that to the side. You know what I mean? You can't create a business. And, I mean, think about the billions of dollars the NBA generate. It's not just an American sport anymore. It's all around the globe. If you could play your players $45, $65 million, think how much the owners are taking in. They got television rights. They got
Well, look, Harvey, just Donald Sterling alone is worth $1.9 billion. That's just him.
And he's worth $974 on a list of four billionaires. 974. So you know how many other billionaires out there?
And he's been making all his money. I mean, of course, he got real estate. And let's talk about that. How is it that this guy has been exposed so many times with federal lawsuits by the federal government refusing to rent to blacks and Hispanics? He's made comments that black people smell and attract vermin, and he said Hispanics are loud and they horrible people and all this other stuff he said about blacks and Hispanics. Now, that's so stupid. Now, you know, one person, I don't know if you've seen that video yet, Sid Lally from the Mashika movement, she made one against him and everything, and so I posted on my Facebook page. But other than that, I was surprised the Mexican community haven't came out against this guy based off of what he did to them, because he don't like them either.
But you know why they ain't going to say nothing? Because the focus is really on the black people. See, let me tell you what they're going to do. See, and no offense to nobody, but let's just be honest. They wait for us to do the heavy lifting, then they jump on the bandwagon. Let's call it what it is.
I noticed that, like, you know, when it comes to stuff like this that's going on, that we'll speak up, you know, and a lot of people, I'm just shocked that they're speaking up all of a sudden. Like I said, I was shocked to hear Lil Wayne say that. I'm still shocked on that one. I'm shocked.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm very shocked. I never think Lil Wayne would come out saying something like that. Because, yes, Lil Wayne has done a lot of cooning in his day. But for him to come out like that, I'm just trying to figure it out. Now, Snoop, I wasn't surprised what he said at all, you know, because I ain't really seen, you know, Snoop do too many things. I'm saying, all right, man, come on, Snoop. You know, but Wayne, I'm kind of shocked at that one.
Well, you know what? This was my observation. I did a video on it because, you know what? I said, thanks for no thanks, Lil Wayne. You know, the reason why I think he did it is because of what he did last year with the Emmett Till thing. And a lot of black folks, they forgot about that.
You say he's trying to make up for that wrong, and it was the time to do
it? Mm-hmm. And he figured people said, well, maybe he realized what he did. No. You can't never walk away from that one. You made fun of a dead 14-year-old child. You know what I mean? A child that was brutally murdered. People need to understand that Emmett Till eyes were gouged out. They put a shotgun to his head. They cut his tongue off. They cut his penis off. Put his penis in his mouth. They took an axe to that boy's body.
You know what, Harvey? I'm not. No way means at all. I'm defending Lil Wayne. No. But
no. I'm not saying that, brother. I know you're not.
No. I'm gonna tell you a reason. People like Lil Wayne's age group are so detached, and they don't understand anything about black history at all.
Mm-hmm.
And some videos I've done about, you know, why you should stop saying Uncle Tom, you know, the story behind Josiah Henson. Why, you know, to say somebody's Uncle Tom, I mean, yeah, call me Uncle Tom. I want to be like Josiah Henson, start a school for kids, become a doctor and everything else. Yeah, I'll be an Uncle Tom all day long. You know, but we're using that term ignorance. You know, stuff like Black Wall Street, Tuskegee Experiment. You know, how about, you know, the study that Africans were here before the transatlantic slave trade, which a lot of folks got mad at me by putting that information out. But, you know what I'm saying, a lot of our people don't understand history. So for Wayne to say that, even though that's for us who understand it and understand how vicious it is, maybe he studied it after he did it. I don't know. I can't say he did or not. I'm not going to defend him, but I'm just saying that, you know, every once in a while we get a wake-up call. I've seen diehard coons get wake-up calls, and they become the most pro-black person I've ever seen in my life after that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You're right. You very well could have sat back and said, yo, I made a mistake. And I respect you for giving the benefit of the doubt. It's just that I'm going to tell you the reason why I'm kind of skeptical, because I don't see too much about people do too many things. You know what I mean? And I guess maybe I'm at a point now my patience is short with stupidity.
You're not too optimistic due to all the stuff they have done. I get it. I get what you're saying. Because every week, stuff they're doing to cut our throat and to be guard dogs of racism. Because it's like they're being guard dogs and trying to calm us down on the plantation when the Nat Turners of the plantation want to rise up. You know what I'm saying?
And that's the thing. And that's why I tell people my videos. People say, why I'm going so hard on black Hollywood, black politicians. People have to remember, these people are in front of the camera. People's ears perk up when they say something. Look what Kobe Bryant did. Look how white America came to Kobe's defense. Prior to that, he was called a rapist, another nigga ball player. Now that he said something about us supporting Trayvon family with his memory, Kobe's right. I said,
Kobe's
only
said?
Right.
Speaking of Kobe,
I would never play for him. He said, I would never play for him.
Kobe starting to join it. I said, what's up, Kobe? I said, you felt that heat. Now you're going to start speaking now? He never says nothing. He never says anything about nothing going on, but he's saying something quick about this one. You notice that?
Yeah, because he knew he messed up last month. He knew he messed up. He knew that he made Jim Brown like a prophet. When Jim Brown sat on Arsenio Hall and said what he said, and I agree, because there were people who got mad at me, and there's some people disagree with me. The ones who disagree with me, I have no problem with that. The ones who got mad at me saying that you need to let it go, I said, I guess you haven't been called nigger or haven't lost a job. I said, you keep living. See, I'm glad I was born where I was born, because I was a 70s baby, 80s child. In the 70s and 80s, you saw that racism firsthand. You know what I mean? The 90s, they start sugarcoating it, and they start showing certain images into these kids. They've been raised in front of TVs. So now they're in their mid to late 20s or early 30s. They don't comprehend it. But Kobe is in our age group. He should have known better. You know, we're in our mid-30s. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We didn't have too many experiences, and it's sad that our people keep taking up for people who don't want them. Look, I'm not trying to make anybody love me. I'm just tired of our people acting like fools, because what we do is we terrorize each other. But when other people terrorize, we kind of rationalize, well, you know, the reason why he said this is because we act like fools. Okay, so a small group of black people act like fools, but he made a generalization, say he won't no black people at his games. He won't. That means he don't want us spending money. He don't want us doing anything for him anymore because he figured, I done made my money. And then people realize if they kick him out of NBA, he's still going to be in real estate.
Yeah.
I feel
you can't stop. You can't take his money away from him. I mean, you can hurt him, but I feel he should not own an NBA team, especially with a league that's at least 80 to 85% African-American. I'm sorry. He should not own that team. I mean, have that kind of feeling. Of course, my thing is, have some backbone, black man, and I want to touch on that too. But before, what's we going to do? I want to, because some people may not even heard the situation. Some people are waking up to it or whatever. So I want to play the clip of the original thing that Donald Sterling said, and then after we play that, we're going to start taking calls. So we got some calls on the line. As well, if you want to speak, make sure you press the number one. So, Harvey, we're going to do, we're going to go to this, and let's listen to this crap.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, too. Oh, I wish sorry. I can change the skin. The color of my skin.
That is the issue. You missed the issue.
What's the issue?
The issue is we don't have to broadcast
it. I'm not broadcasting anything. I don't do anything wrong.
Nobody said you did anything wrong.
I don't do anything wrong. If we ever have any issues, it's because people call you and tell you things about me that are not true.
Why are you broadcasting?
I'm not broadcasting anything.
Why are you taking pictures with minorities? Why?
What's wrong with minorities? What's wrong with black people?
Nothing.
What's wrong with these families?
It's like talking to an enemy. There's nothing wrong with minorities. They're fabulous. Fabulous. Because you're an enemy to me.
Why?
Because you don't understand.
I don't understand what?
Nothing.
That racism still is alive?
No, but there's a culture.
What culture?
People steal certain things. Hispanics steal certain things towards blacks. Blacks steal certain things towards other groups. It's been that way historically, and it will always be that way.
But it's not that way in my heart and in my mind.
But maybe you want to adjust to the world.
But why? If the world doesn't do anything for me and they don't make me happy.
You're right. I don't want to argue with you. I don't want to argue.
I can't be racist in my heart.
And that's good. I'm living in a culture, and I have to live within the culture. So that's the way it is. That's how I got it. I got the whole message. You live with your heart.
I don't... You're...
You can't be flexible. You can't...
I am flexible. I understand that that's the way you were raised and that's your culture, and I'm respectful. And
well, why do you have to disrespect them? Those that are...
Who am I disrespecting?
The world before you.
Why am I disrespecting them?
Well, what, by walking, and you're perceived as either a Latina or a white girl. Why should you be walking publicly with black people? Why? Is there a benefit to you?
Is it a benefit to me? Does it matter if they're white or blue or yellow?
I guess that you don't know that. Maybe you're stupid. Maybe you don't know what people think of you. It does matter, yeah. It matters.
Do you know that I'm mixed?
No, I don't know.
You know that I'm mixed.
You told me you were going to remove those. You said, yes, I understand you. I mean, you change from day to day. Wow. So painful. Wow.
People call you and tell you that I have black people on my Instagram, and it bothers you.
Yeah, it bothers me a lot that you want to broadcast that you're associating with black people. Do you have to?
You associate with black people.
I'm not you, and you're not me. You're supposed to be a delicate white or a delicate Latina girl.
I'm a mixed girl.
Okay. Well, but we
and don't... you're in love with me. And I'm black and Mexican, whether you like it or not,
okay.
Whether the world accepts it or not. And you're asking me to remove something that's part of me and in my bloodstream because the world thinks different of me and you're afraid of what they're going to think because of your upbringing. You want me to have hate towards black people?
I don't want you to have hate. That's what people do. They turn things around. I want you to love them privately in your whole life. Every day you can be with them. Every single day of your life.
But they're not in public?
But why publicize it on the Instagram, and why bring it to my games?
Why bring the black people to the games? I
really don't want to discuss that anymore. It's over. I don't want to talk about it.
I'm sorry that you feel that way.
I feel that way so strongly, and it may cause our relationship to just break apart. And if it does, it does. It's better to break apart now than to break apart later.
I'm sorry that you still have people around you that are full of racism and hate in their hearts. I'm sorry that you're still racist in your heart. I'm sorry that you live in a world that still...
How about your whole life? Every day, you could do whatever you want. You could sleep with them, you could bring them in, you could do whatever you want. The little I ask you is not to promote it on that and not to bring them to my games.
I don't bring anyone to the game.
Okay, then. There's nothing to argue about.
I know.
Okay, we got a big problem here. I really don't feel like going anywhere. I don't feel like going to Europe. I don't feel like just going to the whole thing. We got a big problem. You didn't like someone that I was with. I would stop seeing that person.
I'm sorry. I don't have any more friends. What would you like me to do? Remove the skin color out of my skin?
Is that a real issue, or are you making something up?
I mean, I just don't understand what the issue is.
There's nothing wrong with you or your skin color. Why are you saying these things? To upset me? Okay.
Sweetie. I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry, too. We made a giant mistake, both of us. Everything you say to me is so painful. Do I want you to change the color of your skin? You know how to really hurt somebody. Instead of saying, I understand.
I don't understand how you can have so much hate towards minorities.
I don't have any hate. I love them.
I cannot understand.
Why would you say that?
How a person like you who's elevated, who's here, still feels above the world, and you can't even be seen with someone in which is considered of a different skin color.
They can be with me all day long and all night long.
I can't believe that a man who's educated, a man who's a scholar, a man who's...
Well, believe it and stop talking about it. Let's finish our discussion with a period, okay? You're not making any good points. You can't believe this man. That's all I am. I'm not a good person in your eyes. If I was a good person, you wouldn't say, I can't believe this. I can't believe that.
What am I saying?
But you're all lies. I love this.
Look at all this negativity coming from
me. There's no negativity. I love everybody. I'm just saying, in your lousy Instagrams, you don't have to have yourself with walking with black people. You don't have to. If you want to, do it.
If it's white people, it's okay? If it was Larry Bird, would it have made a difference?
You're just a big fighter. I can see. Who would want to live with a woman like you? Who would want to live with a woman? All you ever wanted to do was fight. You're a born fighter.
I'm sorry that you're mad.
You're the worst mouth.
Why are you so angry, honey? What's wrong?
Well, why would you bring up Larry Bird? What has he got to do with it? You can walk all night long with your sisters or your family.
I saw someone I admire. I admire Magic Johnson.
Okay, good.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
He's made a lot of changes for his community, for the world, for the people, for the minorities. He's helped a lot of people.
Why are you forcing this down my throat? I'm finished talking to you. I have nothing more to say.
And I took a picture with someone I admire.
Good.
And he happens to be black, and I'm sorry.
I think it's nice that you admire him. I know him well, and he should be admired. And I'm just saying that it's too bad you can't admire him privately. And during your entire life, your whole life, admire him. Bring him here. Feed him. Him. I don't care. You can do anything. But don't put him on an Instagram so the world has to see, so they have to call me. And don't bring him into my games, okay?
I don't know him personally.
Please leave me alone. Please, please.
I'm sorry. Is there anything that I can do to make you feel better?
No, you could never make me feel better. You're just a fighter and you want to fight.
All right, Harvey. Why he didn't answer the question? That's what I keep bringing that back up. When she said if they were white, would that be okay? Would it be Larry Bird? He refused to answer the question.
Because he didn't want her to realize that, yo, that I don't like black people. I don't like you to be around white guys that I find presentable or, you know, I don't want to keep this image up. But it says something also about her. And let me address something real quick. We as black Americans got to stop saying we're minorities. We're not minorities. We're majority, because if we was truly minorities, people wouldn't be on the prowl to attack us every time we turn around. I mean, I won't be really thinking about that. If we're minorities, people would just ignore us. And then she kept saying, I'm black and I'm Mexican, and he said he didn't know that. How can you not know?
How can you not know? That girl, trust me, looks like she's, you know, if she didn't tell you she was Mexican, you would think she was black, or you would think something about her.
Yeah.
And what gives her away a little bit that I'm going to say, well, maybe she is Mexican. I can hear it in her tone, her voice tone. You know,
her accent.
You know what I'm saying? It gives it away. You know, so she looks like both to a point. And, you know, so it's just the thing, man. It's this guy here is just freaking out. He don't have an issue with her being around black people, just not in public. So when she called him out and said, well, you around black people, well, it's different. Because, yeah, I know why it's different. Because these Negroes making me money. That's why it's different. They ain't making you no money.
Exactly. And see, that's why I find everybody who's coming out saying something now suspect, because people are going to say, wait a minute, for 30 years there's been rumors going around that this guy was like this and you guys didn't say anything. Now that he got caught, now because I just went, when Charles Barkley, never mind everybody, just a few months back, Charles Barkley was attacking Trayvon's memory, telling
yes,
the black
was.
Community
yes,
that we
was.
Shouldn't stand with him. Now all of a sudden, you want to come out here and meet me, Mr. Pro-Black. Because a lot of people are saying, Charles, you play in the league all this time. You play golf with these cats. Because I guarantee they didn't play golf with them. They didn't go to parties with these owners. And they're going to say, Mike, you didn't invite them to your wedding? Because a lot of people be wondering why I got such anger towards Barkley and Jordan and them. And I said, when they played ball, they had nothing to do with the black community. When black kids are getting shot on those Jordan said, that's not my problem. You know, but people still buy his product today. People are going to start questioning their owners and say, wait a minute, why don't you guys get together and vote this guy out, or, you know, pressure him that he got to sell his team? All of them are quiet.
Yeah, the owners,
all of them are quiet.
They are quiet. The only owner that I've heard say something was Michael Jordan, and he said that he was disgusted and sickened by what he heard. Now, yeah, because he owns the Charlotte Bobcats. But this is what we're going to do, Harvey. We're going to start taking in these calls. I'm taking them in order. Everybody that press 1, 347-996-3350, press 1. I would take them in order. Now, due to the amount of calls we have, a lot of calls we got sitting on the line, go ahead and state your piece, and we have to move on to the next call. So the first call we'll be answering is area code 484. You're on the show.
Yes, hello.
How you doing?
All right. A couple things. One, what he said was disgusting, irritating, and despicable. Number two, she's not but a gold digger. Because he's 81 years old, and I'm sure she's not with him for the sex, so she's with him for the money. And the third point, what I'm upset about is none of those players or the coach did anything. Yeah,
yep.
Players took their jerseys off and threw them on the court in the middle of the floor. Big deal. So what?
And they still dunked that basketball for Sterling the rest of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I did my video, people got pissed off at me because I said that they were weak, they didn't have no backbone, and that's why a good portion of our women don't respect black men. It's because we show no backbone. It's sad. I got more black women that said they wouldn't have played and everything versus these black dudes defending. Well, they play for them. Well, they trying to get a championship. Like, really? Well, your dignity and respect you need that, man. You ain't trying to pay your light bill next week.
Yeah, this is it's repulsive. It's ridiculous.
And think about it. They had some black dudes tell me on the YouTube, well, if they mess up their contract, they may not be able to play anymore. Like, okay. So you mean to tell me
they can get a job next up. Season? Somebody else will come up next
Griffin
season or this summer.
Picked up. Come on now.
All they could have did is said hostile workplace environment, and nobody would have done anything to them. That's all they had to say. Hostile workplace environment, and the law would respect that. Nobody would have to void their contract. They wouldn't get signed because it is a hostile workplace where you have an owner who has a 30-year history of saying the most racist things, and then you got him on audio, and the media still won't play the second part in this entirely.
I noticed that. That second part haven't been aired on mainstream media. Like I said, if you guys haven't heard the second part of the audio, go to my YouTube channel, The Advice Show TV. He is saying a whole lot more outlandish stuff than that. Well, he's talking about, he brings up the Jewish part. Talking about
black Jews and
white Jews.
And I did a video prior to that second part even going there because I knew his background. I knew what he was going to do. Where's the ADL at? Where's the Southern Poverty Law? All these people that normally criticize people like the Klan or the Nation of Islam. Farrakhan them like a prophet tonight because he sure said it. He said particular group of people in power in the entertainment industry, and this guy just showed it. He just showed his hand. So, like I said, why aren't the media showing this? Why aren't they talking about this? Because he said something about
the lamestream media is controlled by them. So they're not going to show that. No, they're not. That's why I like the internet, man. We can actually get some real information out here.
And then let me put this out here. David Stern was in charge of the NBA for 30 years. No, actually 35 years, if I'm not mistaken. Ask yourself, why isn't they going after Stern? Now, Stern had all the crap to say about Dennis Rodman going to Korea playing some damn basketball, but he's quiet on this. I'm telling you, that so-called group of people, they stick together. They're not going to throw each other on the bus like we do.
Everybody sticks together
point.
But us.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I was watching ESPN this morning, and I'm sure y'all watched First Take, and Stephen A. Smith said this, and I agree with him. The black community is looking for somebody to speak for them, looking for somebody in the media to speak for them. And if we don't take a stand and stand for something, this is going to keep going on. Because racism and racism, they're never going to go anywhere because the gay community will stand up for them for disrespect. I'm sure the white people will do the same thing. Latinos and everybody else.
Yeah.
You agree. We agree because I'm going to tell you something. If he said something about gays, they would have never took the court last night.
Yep.
They wouldn't do that turn of jerseys around like you do in grammar school. That's something little kids do. I could have done that. I could have had my little niece to do something like that. No, if you would have sat down on that bench and said, we're not playing because people said we're playing for a championship. You mean to tell us your manhood has been reduced to just getting a damn ring?
You only get one trophy.
You don't get 12 trophies. You get one.
And the owner keeps it.
They don't worry about a trophy. You know, rest they talk about this. Muhammad Ali, because he stood up to him, couldn't fight for 4 years. 4 years this man couldn't fight because he actually stood up to him. Now, you mean to tell me you can't set out a playoff series and say, you know what, I ain't playing for this fool. Forget him. He said he don't want black people in this game. I'm black. I'm not going.
And these guys are millionaires. Muhammad Ali was not a millionaire, and he had to go do all kinds of things he didn't want to do to make money during those 4 years. But these guys are millionaires. Now, if you had afraid of your job, you losing your job, you had no job security in the first place. That means the player unions was a joke. I mean, here it is. You got Chris Paul over the players union, I believe, if that's the right, correct title, and he sits up there. He should have said, guys, I ain't playing. Doc Rivers should have said, you know what, guys? You do not have to play. Come
Doc
he
Rivers
said,
disappointed me. He,
Doc
he
Rivers
disappointed
see,
me.
Doc Rivers, but if you've been following Doc Rivers and a lot of these players for a long time, if you see who they married to, it ain't that hard to figure out.
Well, this, I was reading about Doc Rivers today, and they said that Sterling was trying to call Doc Rivers, and Doc Rivers didn't want to take his phone call, and Doc Rivers saying he don't know about his future with the team now. I mean, dude, you're still playing for him, but, you know, forget the money. It's about your pride and your self-respect. I'm so sick and tired of
He got enough money. It's not like us that we got a regular job. He ain't got enough money.
Man, he won a championship. He won a championship.
With the Celtics.
With the Celtics. So what is he talking about?
And he got plenty of money.
He got money.
I mean, he had, even had his son on was that Twitter or something, trying to say, well, you don't know, our house got burnt. You're talking about something that happened years ago. And I'm sitting there, I said, he sent his little son out there, Mulatto's son, out there to make black folks feel like we're picking up. No, I'm sorry. At some point, we as black men got to say enough is enough. Like what Vajo said, that our women look at us like we're punks, because this is why our women have taken on masculine qualities, because we act like wimps. We didn't sit back and say, I mean, just think about all the crap that these brothers have said within the last 8 years. I mean, this is why nobody take us serious. I mean, there's no way I could have sat there and said, good conscience, and said, wait a minute, if this man feels his way about black people, I'm a black man. That means he may not want my family in the stand. He may not want my friends in the stands. He's basically saying that black are good for making him money, and that's it. That's a plantation mentality.
That's why when I saw that
pic, a bunch of plantations.
That's why I saw that. When
and
I saw
he
that
told him, he said
Facebook,
he gave him cars, gave him a house, gave him money.
Yeah.
I would have took offense to that.
Yeah, see, they didn't say that. The second part is the one he was like, sounding like a slave master. Well, I give him cars.
Mm-hmm.
I give him food. I give him things. Who else going to give him that? It sounded like a
and they cut it off. TMZ. Now, let me bring something up. TMZ first got the audio, right? Then the other site got it. TMZ. Harvey Levin is a so-called, and y'all know what I mean when I say that. He purposely didn't play that whole part. He figured that'd be just nothing to put him under the building. No. When that other site played in this full, I was like, oh, wow. Man, he didn't say this about Jews and say Israel, talk about the blacks and everything, calling us dogs and stuff. They don't want that to be played because too many brothers recently have, in Farrakhan been the one, he would get a video where he went down the list of everybody who owns a team is of a particular group, and how many black people who have called them out, they've been called anti-Semitic. They don't want black folks like him to look like they're a prophet, because then people are going to start asking, what about Mark Cuban? And what's that dude that was owning the Cleveland that tricked about LeBron, talk about LeBron's a traitor and everything? Gilbert something, I can't think of his last name. Then you got the guy on the Redskins. The guy on the Redskins, he's Jewish.
Snyder.
He said, I'm not changing the team name. For a group of people claiming to be the biggest victims on the planet, they seem to be the biggest perpetrators of victimizing other people. We can't deny that. They control the music industry. They push these negative images of us. They take our women. They pimp our women out. I mean, yesterday, if all the NBA teams would have said, you know, we ain't playing. You know what that would have did? That was going to shift in power. They would have said, these dudes ain't scared of us.
Every black man on both teams should have said, you know what, we ain't gonna play today. Forget it. We gonna stand with the Clippers players and just not play. That would have sent shockwaves all over the world. That would have drawn so much attention to America, which this story is already drawing attention as it is. Because people from all over the world say, wow, America just is no different than what they used to be. You know, it's the truth.
No heart and no backbone. That's what it is.
It's sad. But, hey, brother, I appreciate your calls. I need to move on to some other callers, and thank you.
Okay, thank
you. All right, let's move on to the next call. It's been sitting there for a while. Eric Cole, 707, you on the show.
Hey, brother, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, man, hey, I just wanted to say this. Love your show. Love your videos, man. I'm glad you young brothers, is putting this stuff out there, because you know what? I am so tired of the buffoonery of our people. You know,
amen.
You give them a little bone, and they're happy with that. And I'm just going to say this real quick. I was a police officer for 17 years out here in California. I basically took a stand for some of the black officers who were being mistreated and some of the community people in the community who are and this, and I want to let all these listeners out there who want to sit there and jock the white man, I'm going to put this out there live. I was a cop. I seen it. White cops planting dope on these young brothers out there, setting them up on cases, all this kind of stuff. So it is out there, and you need to watch back, bottom line. And that's real talk. But with this here, I'm just so disturbed with these so-called high-polluting millionaires who basically don't take a stand for what is right and what is wrong. Michael Magic Johnson, he's known this guy's history, and all of a sudden now they want to pretend like, oh, wow, I'm shocked. This has been going on for years. This guy's been this way for years. Now you shocked? I don't buy that. I don't buy none of this bullshit that they have going on out there. And it just really has tainted my feelings toward the NBA in a whole. And I'm not just talking about Mr. Stern. He's going to be who he is. I already know that's out there. So I'm not shocked. I know that's out there. That doesn't hurt me. What hurts me is the fact that our black people ain't standing strong and true to themselves and taking a stand for
that's a phrase there. Our black men. Not people.
Our black men. And I'm and I agree with you 100%. People, because I get folks who ask me, how come, black women are so damn hard and strong? I said, because you as a black man don't stand up for them.
It's sad, brother, what I'm about to say. I'd rather join together with a black woman and fight a cause than the current black man.
And I tell you what, check this out, brother. Check this out. The people who had my back when I basically took the department to litigation wasn't black brothers. It was sisters.
Mm-hmm.
It was sisters who said, I got you. And I'm like, wow. And the same brothers who gave me the blue flu kind of sort of thing, left me out there on an island by myself. Now.
Yeah.
They're losing their jobs, and they're like, they're calling me up, hey, brother, how can I get myself together? You know what? And I love them. They're my brothers, and I'm not going to turn my back on nobody who's black who needs to fight, and I let them know straight up. Now the script is flipped on you. I tried to tell you this back then, and now you want to play this game woe is me. It's not until something happens to you as an individual, as a black man, that you want to start stepping up. But when everything's all good, you want to kind of just hide.
That wake-up call. They get that wake-up call.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, can I say this to your guest for a second? First of all, brother, thank you for your service, because I know a police officer job is thankless, especially when you're a black officer. Usually you're divided what to do and what not to do, but it sounds like you took a stand. And we need more brothers like you. And what you explained, I went through that in the Army. I had people who you wouldn't expect stand next to me. I'm going to be honest with you. When I got hurt and came home, white women and black women did more for me to get my benefits than black men. They was hating on me. And I'm sitting there like, brother, what did I do to you? I come up, you coming up. But see, that's the problem. We got a bunch of handkerchief heads running around in our community. And you see a lot of these jokers on TV, whether it be CNN, MSNBC, or Fox, apologizing to Master for us speaking up about this.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that really kills me is the fact that, now you got all these, and what's happening with the NBA is, it happens. But you got all these folks out here. I'm talking about brothers who don't have resources out here. Shit going on, getting prosecuted for stuff they did not even do. Stop and frisk, and you got out. Where's Jesse Jackson at? Where's Al Sharpton at? You don't see none of them brothers. None of them.
But what? I'm gonna tell you something. Let me tell you something. We gotta start doing. We gotta stop letting the so-called dominant to control the conversation. If we need to take our little boys, or we need to demand to go into these schools and have one-on-ones with them, because I'm telling you, they're being brainwashed today to think that, don't say anything, go along, get along. And then this drug thing you're talking about, I tell any black person, if you support the legalization of marijuana, you just gave them a free reign to do whatever they want. And for the last 30-something years, our brother's been sitting in jail for a dime bag. Now all of a sudden the economy hit white America. Let's legalize it. No, you don't, because if you're going to do it, you better wipe everybody record clean. You better give them restitution, because they destroyed the black community with the war on drugs. So anybody talking about this drug thing, I'm telling you, don't support it, because we're going to pay the end.
Let me go ahead, brother. I'm sorry.
I want to say something. You're talking about Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton. you know, I don't know, like, Harvey, have you watched some of the videos I put up about with Quanell X and Matt Patrick doing those debates on sometimes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, people need to kind of move away a little bit from Al and Jesse, and if you want to kind of talk about somebody or push somebody to the national forefront, I think Quanell X probably be the guy to do it, because he don't care what he
says. Quanell X, he is off the hook. I love Quanell X.
Yeah, he can care less what he say, and you can tell he's not bought.
But yeah, you know what? Let me say this real quick about Reverend Sharpton and Reverend Jackson. We have to remember, these are senior citizens now. They're not gonna have that bite they had back in the '70s and eighties. Because a lot of stuff that people say about them is talking points from the white media. Now, I've been on Reverend Jackson's show. I've had conversations with him before. You can tell that he's tired. You can tell that he's trying to do the right thing, but he has a bunch of Judas around him too. He got a lot of people pulling him and Sharpton the same way. I'm not going to hold Sharpton them responsible. They're not elected officials. We don't vote them in. The people that we vote in, those are the ones we should be criticizing. Because right now, you know, there's no politicians saying anything. But the other time, they can get involved with the steroid thing. They can get involved in everything else. When Reverend Wright went down, all of them had an opinion. When that rancher said what he said last week, everybody got quiet all of a sudden. So we can't keep saying Jesse and Al. But I tell you, somebody that did warn us about this, it was Farrakhan and the late Khalid Muhammad. They warned us. Farrakhan got a video. He went down. He told what they was going to do. And we're like, oh, you're a Muslim. We got to put religion to the side. That brother's 80-something years old. He's still out there talking about these devils.
You can go further back than that, because this was documented years ago, back when Malcolm X said this, and everybody's like, mm-hmm. you are a separatist. And, yeah, exactly. You know, he was the one that talked about empowering yourself, basically developing your own businesses. We as black people need to support each other, you know, economically. Oh, no one wanted to hear that. No one wanted to hear that, because they thought the other side was better, but the other side is not better. It's just camouflaged. So, mm-hmm. you know, they'll give you so much, but you know, once you surpass that plateau, you're not gonna reach the brass ring, as we would so called.
Well, look what they did to Michael Jackson. They didn't get all the millions. They said, we're gonna put you back in your place, nigga. And what's the worst thing you could accuse somebody is murder or child molestation? Michael slowly died over the years.
He did.
You saw it.
He did.
Well, the thing is with today, because like I said, I'm about to move on to the next caller. Is that, you know, we can't really depend on the people that they can get to. It's like, due to social media, we all can have a voice. We all can speak up, just like we're doing now on YouTube. You know, other brothers, they can speak up as well. It don't have to be the same people or whatever. It can be different people, you know, joined together. Because like I tell people, Martin and Malcolm and all them other ones did so much work without text messaging, without, you know, the internet or nothing. We could do a whole lot more than what they did, due to our ability to connect a lot faster. So, you know, we need to, like, even with these sports, you know, this industry of the NBA, these men need to realize they run the industry, and they can, push come to shove, you don't want to treat us right, let's go start our own league. I guarantee they'll try to, you know, we had our own leagues before in history. But anyway, like, brother, I appreciate the call, and I move on to the next call.
Hey, man, I love you both. You guys take it easy, man, and have a blessed day.
All right, you too.
You too.
All right.
All right, Harvey, let's move on to another caller. Let's miss it. Erico 304, you're on the show.
Hey, Mr. Nice Show, and hey, Harvey.
Hey, how you doing?
Observing from Bloomfield, West Virginia.
Hey,
you might know me as
Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing, Mr. Griffith?
Who is this?
Oh, no problem. Mr. Griffith, you might know me from that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What's going on, brother?
Hey, what's going on? Yeah,
all right.
I did like two or three videos about this subject over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't surprise me, but it's just disgusting. There's a few questions. One, how come black men are so scared? Myself included, because I've had to work on myself, are so scared of white people. Because if you listen to Donald Sterling, and I'm not giving that girlfriend a pass. I did it first until I
didn't
heard
give
the
a
whole
pass at all.
Conversation. Until I heard the whole conversation, then I was like, nah, I can't give her no pass. But if you listen to him, he sounded like a little, if you excuse my language, he sounded like a little insecure bastard. I mean, seriously.
Mm-hmm.
He sounded like a little mm-hmm. little 12-year-old, like, why? I mean, it was like, what? I mean, I mean, she probably hadn't even, well, she may have, but she probably hadn't even touched the brother yet, and he already thinking about it crying. I'm like, and we really scared of these folks? Really? Insecure about us?
Like, you just don't understand. You don't understand. Like a little temper tantrum he was having.
Yeah.
You know, he has to be, I live in a culture. Yeah, a culture of
like,
racism.
Like, understand,
yeah,
understand
I
my
don't
pain.
Understand that.
The other guys are making fun of me because they see big strapping black men next to you. That's what it was. It's called penis envy, guys. That's what it was.
You got all these billions of dollars and you're still intimidated by a black man. That's sad. That's sad.
Yeah, but that's a lot of the hatred come from. Now, I'm going to tell you, have y'all noticed it doesn't matter. Some TV show is going to make reference to our size of our member. Think about it. Whether it's a comedy, a daytime soap, or a talk show, or some movie, they're going to make a joke about it. And a lot of times these guys hate resent us, but guess what? Their women are the ones who are driving this boat with their hatred. And you know, you said where it comes from, why black men are scared. We've been indoctrinated, and we've been programmed by that television, that boob tube. You know,
mm-hmm.
We've been sitting on TV. We watch, I mean, think about when we was kids. What shows did we watch? You watched the Brady Bunch, the Partridge Family, cartoons. We was always treated as docile. And then when they showed the angry, stereotypical nature of a black person or the aggressive nature, it was always some negative. Your parents told you, don't do that, don't do that. So you find yourself in life catching yourself. You don't want to be seen as the vocal black guy. Don't want to be seen as aggressive. And aggressive is a loaded term because people can mean it good or bad. So you find yourself suppressing yourself, and you get tired of it after a while, saying, well, you know what, I'm just going to go along and get along. Because what happened is, if you notice, some of our brothers, when they hit that 50s, that's when they become really complacent. They don't have that fire anymore. So now you got your sons, your grandsons, or nephews, they watching their fathers, their uncles say, damn, my dad ain't out there being vocal anymore. Because it happened to my father. I watched my father do it. When he was in his 30s, Nobody said nothing to him. When he in his 50s, his whole attitude changed because people get tired.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our women sit back and they watch us and say, well, no. You're going to go out here and you're going to do this. And see, the black man is getting it from all sides. That's why they say our heart, why we don't live long, because our hearts usually age 30 years. When
mm-hmm.
Dr. King died, they say he had the heart of a 60-something-year-old man. He was only 39 years old, and that's kind of scary. I'm 38 years old. So, you know, I have to sit back and say, wait a minute, let me decompress. Sometimes you got to laugh at the stuff. That's why I told at the beginning of the show, when I first heard about this, I laughed because this is something I've been warning people about for the last 3.5 years. Even before that second part came out, I told y'all what was going to happen and what he was saying. And I said, he said more, and they got more because I just highly doubt that she just got that little part of the tape. She been playing him, and I'm not going to give up her pass either because she willingly went with this guy. He
mm-hmm.
expressed his opinion for it, and then his wife takes up, you know, she throw him on the bus, then she takes up for him. You can't believe they've been married 50 years.
Yeah,
he didn't know,
yeah, did you see that
on
TMZ today? Did she
yeah.
say,
yeah.
when they said, hey, they say you're a racist, he said, he's not a racist. That's what she said.
Yeah.
I mean, on TMZ, if you go look at it.
Oh, she knows,
the frepid old bastard, barely getting in the car. And yeah, she's defending it.
Yeah, I'm telling you, she knew too. She knew it as well. How can you be, like you just said, why can you be married to somebody 50 years and not know somebody? Or like these other people in the Clippers organization, you know, that said, oh, I'm all shy. I'm like, I'm trying to watch my language because, you know, I'm respecting your show. But I'm like, that's a bunch of BS. That is. I'm like, you've been around this man 25, 30 years. You guys knew, and that's why I ripped into the NAACP, the chapter out in Los Angeles in one of my videos, too, because I was like, wait a minute. You knew back in 2009 when Elgin Baylor sued this man for racial discrimination. You knew
yeah.
that he was in trouble for this. You gave him a Lifetime Achievement Award, Don Sterling, I mean. You gave him
and
a Lifetime Achievement Award anyway, and was getting ready to do
that?
It again.
You're right,
the
man.
They won't focus on Sterling and all his comments. They keep focused on the NAACP.
This morning, Mika Brzezinski brought that up. And then Al Sharpton, they had to stop Alex Wagner. Like, well, the NAACP said, stuck. I ain't thinking about somebody giving somebody a plaque. I'm focused on what the NBA knew and why what they're going to do about it. And I like that type of answer. But see, my thing is, this is why I said in videos before, I said the NWCP need a house cleaning. They need to, the national NWCP need to know what the chapters are doing, and the chapters need to report monthly. And I'm going to tell you, that means somebody's not paying attention to the news or social media. This that happened in 2009. You mean tell me they have Google or Yahoo or X Jeeves and they search engine to go monitor? Yeah. If you're supposed to be an organization that look out for our interests, you're supposed to be on it. Every day, the Advise show, me or some other black YouTuber, whether we agree with each other or not, we put up news that should be covered. That's why I said BET is a joke. Here it is. We have no news program.
We don't own BET. We don't own it.
But that, yeah, that's true. But see, the thing, but guess what? When we want the game on BET, we got the game back on BET. So that means we can demand something.
Oh yeah, and,
right?
We can demand it, but we need more than the doggone TV show.
That's what I'm saying. I'm talking. We need some type of news organization. Because I'm gonna tell you something. That's why I'm glad that people got me doing videos and blog talk. That's why I'm getting to the blog talk thing. Because you'd be surprised how many people I've spoken about who's oblivious to this situation. Oh, I didn't hear about that.
And
how
also,
you
I
want to
add something. Not all, like, because people talk about, that's why in my commentary I focus on Donald Sterling and the institution of racism. I didn't really go say white folks because they have a lot of white folks that really don't agree with that. I've had more comments come at me from white people that say they wouldn't play. They say how despicable he is. And like I said, they even had white folk companies pulling out away from him because they sure ain't black folks sponsoring him. So like I said, it's sad that you got white folks want to do quicker stuff to him than black folks. I mean, that's like crazy to me. That's why I'm careful on what I say when I attack somebody, because Donald Sterling is the one that said it. So I don't like to generalize people. I just go at the person that did it.
That's always
kind of easy to get into that generalization thing. That's why even when I do my videos, I make sure like not to say black people, black women, black men. I say the individual because you just kind of keep it where it's at.
That's why I say some. That's why I say not all, but some. Because, like you said, there are white people out there that are offensive because they don't want to get lumped up into this group. That's why I said a small percentage of people. That's why people say, Harvey, you need to go ahead and blast the Jewish community. Not everybody who's Jewish thinks that way. But we do have to say that a lot of them in the entertainment industry and politics think that way. Now, that I will put my money on. But the average person that are white in them, they don't think that way. If they do, they keep it to themselves. And I've had people who openly said, I was raised to hate black people. And he said, as long as you stay on your side, stay on my side. And I ain't got nothing problem with that.
Yeah, I've been told that, too. They said that I had a few white guys, but the last one that sat me down told me, a lot of us are raised to think we're better than black people. So I'm going to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he just sat me down and told me. He said that. You say a lot of either white people, they fake with black people. They act like they like them, but they really don't like you. You say, I was being honest. And he said, I'm not saying all, but he said, we live in the South, and a lot of them think that way. And I say, you know what? Hey, man, you're only confirming what we know. I said, I appreciate you being real like that just to tell me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have no problem discussing race with other groups of people if you're going to be real about the situation.
Yeah. Don't try to sugarcoat it. Like, people think I'm crazy when I say it, but I have more respect for the Klan. Because at least they're telling me what they are.
Yeah,
the ones that keep quoting Dr.
That.
King, the ones that keep quoting Dr. King, those are the ones you got to worry about.
Or people
that want to say, I'm not like that. I got black friends. It's all in your head. There ain't no racism. I say if a person, even if it's another black person, that tells you that, they're suspect. And I would also say, run.
Okay, well, let me change the tone for a minute, and let me ask you a question. Okay, if you're the owner of the company that you work for right now, do you work for somebody, or you own your business?
If I was in that situation, I'd be looking to get out of there.
Okay, I just want to ask you a question, because that's a lot of – I'm going to ask this to people that are calling in. I'm going to start moving on to other calls. But the thing is there are a lot of people argue with me and say, shoot, I just collect my money off of him. I don't care if he's racist. or whatever. And I'm like, man, you don't have no backbone and pride in yourself to say, man, forget him. I'll get something else. You know, that just mind boggles me. And that's why these, you know, you're so quick to snatch the life of a black person. You shoot them down. You're like, oh, you ain't going to talk to me like that. You don't respect me and all this other stuff. But anytime, you know, a man like Donald Sterling says something to you, ducking your head, you act like you got a hearing problem. You know, I didn't hear what he said. What? You know what you heard that man say. Stop acting stupid. You know, you just don't want to stand up for nothing.
Yeah, there was all kinds of evidence on that, man. That's why I said what I said about NAACP. That's why I brought that up, because there was all kinds of evidence on this man that this dude was racist, or at least had those tendencies, for years, probably even before the incident I brought up.
Well, man, you know the NAACP is not a solely black organization anymore either. Do your research.
True. But it never really was a black organization when you had a Jewish person filing it and telling blacks during the 60s and stuff not to, you just march and let us handle the behind-the-scenes thing. That was dangerous right there. You know what I mean? Think about it. While we was out marching, they was making businesses, they was buying up property and businesses. And then by 1967, that's when they turned on us. We don't need y'all no more. The NAACP is not what it used to be. You know what I mean? And the thing is, like, y'all heard me say in videos, if you gave me 6 months to reorganize, you wouldn't recognize it. I would clean house. Because
I agree with you 100% too. I clean house too. It's like, it ain't no joke. So we're gonna be on. We got too much work to do to be playing dinner. You know?
I mean, it makes it so bad. The NAACP, they vote for everybody else's rights and feelings. When it comes to us, it's the national NAACP. They quiet. But when Jason Collins came out, they was tweeting, oh, yes, this is a good day. He came out of the closet. He's in the NBA. And I'm like, wait a minute. Hold on. A guy messing with another guy, that's something to celebrate. But a guy who's basically saying that blacks are beneath him, he held us and us in contempt, that you ain't saying nothing. And then your Los Angeles chapter is going to give him another lifetime. How many lifetimes do you have to get two?
Yeah, I mean, saw that.
Call me crazy. Call me crazy.
I saw that on CNN. About them giving them award. Like I said, I'm just on the fence about, like I said, cause I'm real funny about doing certain videos, because, I mean, yeah, I want to lay into the NAACP, but I'm just careful on what I do, because I know the ramifications of me being a black man laying into them, you know. So,
people say your Uncle Tom.
It's not that. I just don't want my stuff used in another way.
Oh, your words will be used against you. Yeah, I know people take them out of context. I know what you mean.
Yeah, so I'm trying to kind of let that play out on its own because, like I said, I have a thing about I'm not going to just come at the neck of a black organization just because of one thing. Now, if you are Uncle Ruckus, I'm coming at you. Like I said, Mr. Larry Elder, please respond to me so I can address you properly. Before the show, Larry Elder was doing his cooning as usual. So I asked him on Twitter. I said, Larry, do you ever stop cooning? And then so he asked me back, do you have a definition? I'm like, I responded, but I hope he says something back. I hope he does, because I'm going to go off on him in a video. I want to, but, you know, I don't know. Let's see if he responds. But anyway, brother, I appreciate you calling, and I'm going to move on to the next call.
No problem. I mean, both of y'all keep up the good work, and I'll keep doing what I'm doing.
All right, brother.
Much respect, brother.
Let's see. All right, Harvey, got another call here. Let's see. Eric Cole 229, you on the show.
Hey, Avaz, so how you doing? Hey, Harvey, how y'all doing?
Fine. How you doing?
All right. Yeah, I just want to say, first of all, you know, I really respect and love both of y'all, but I must say I'm appalled and embarrassed, and I just feel like my black community, I just feel like we just sit back and we let certain groups get a little too close to us, and you know it just seems like we let people take advantage of our community.
Let me pause you right there. Mm-hmm. The problem with black people is that we allow people to take advantage of us. You know how black people are? Black people are like a child that's constantly looking for a friend at school. So they're going to befriend anybody and just sit with them and just be their friend, even though that friend want to actually play with their toy or that friend actually wanted them to give them some of their lunch money or something. They're not being a friend for a reason, like for the right reason. They're being for them because they want something out of them. And then after they get it, they leave. And then black people, that black kid is constantly looking for a friend again. That's kind of how black people are.
Exactly. And which kind of leads me to the, one of the points I was going to make. You know, I look at the whole situation with Donald Sterling,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I see where, you know, people talk about, well, the NAACP, you know, they're going to do this and they're going to do that. But, you know, I'm hearing where, you know, they gave him a Lifetime Achievement Award. A few years back, I think it was like in 2008, 2009, something like that, and was in the process of giving him another one. Until they rescinded it due to this incident. But it's just like, you know, we're just too easily taken advantage of as a people, you know.
Because we allow it.
I agree with what you were saying about, you know, any other group, Mexican, gays, Asian, any other group would have stood up, and they wouldn't have allowed what went on to have taken place. They wouldn't have sat up there the next day and played a game, you know, knowing what the ramifications was. And, I just think it's just sad, man. You know, they probably just like you were saying, they probably sat back and then laughed about that whole situation.
Yeah, they were laughing at them. Like, they look at these slaves running up and down the court, still making me some money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just really, you know, somebody was asking me today. They were like, you know, what do you think is going to happen? And I said, I already know what's going to happen. You know, Sharpton's going to march, you know. Sterling's going to release a generic apology. He probably going to even do a public apology. You know, he's probably going to lose sponsorship for maybe a few years or something. And, you know, eventually we're going to step him back because we always do, just like with the Paula Nee situation. I mean,
once you cross me like that, I don't want to hear nothing about you. Now let's talk about this. Mm-hmm. Talking about racism in professional sports. Now you know everything you remember about Deshaun Jackson when the Philadelphia Eagles supposedly he had gang ties and they released him, right?
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay, mm-hmm. Well, but Riley Cooper can stay on the team when he's being a known racist. Why is
exactly.
that? Let's talk about something else, racism in professional sports. Michael Vick, you know, he went to jail for the sponsorship of dog fighting. Okay, won't let that brother live that down. They got a petition going along up there in New York. Don't want him to play for the Jets because he signed on with them. But Ben Roethlisberger got in trouble for raping chicks. They don't bring that up, do they?
They don't.
Pittsburgh Steelers, but you don't talk about that at all. But you won't leave Vick alone. And you want in Deshaun Jackson, you got a racist on the Philadelphia Eagles, you go over all kinds of stuff.
You know, and you bring up a real good point. Because I've noticed something. As a black, especially as a black man, when we do something, it's like, you know how it's supposed to be the country that's so forgiving?
I don't know who told
when
you that.
When we do something... When we do something as black men, we're never forgiven. They'll sit up there and bring up stuff that we did 10, 20 years ago.
Well, you know what? Because Donald Sterling,
when it comes to white,
let me tell you something. Let me point out one thing Donald Sterling said that you really need to pay attention to. He said, you are the enemy. Though they are the enemy. That's a strong term. When you say they are the enemy,
mm-hmm.
you don't love your enemy. You don't forgive your enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And Donald Sterling the only one that feel that way.
But see, no. Go ahead.
people got to understand it's profit from projecting hatred on a black man. Because think about since Obama got out of office, how gun sales went up. Because politicians and celebrities are always portraying us as the most violent when we're not the most violent. You know, here it is, you know, we don't show up schools. I mean, black kids do their dirt outside of school. We don't do dirt inside of school. I mean, when that white boy went Wolverine on those kids last week or week before last, the first thing they say, he must have a mental issue. Every time they get caught with the hand in the cookie jar, it's a mental issue. When we do something, we get that one brother and sister on TV that's inarticulate and plays into a stereotype. Instead of us in our community letting that pastor talk all the time, let actual men say, you know what, don't get in front of the cameras. Don't you say that. Don't you do that. See, the problem is we wait for somebody to lead us and tell us not to do those things. And it's a problem. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, Harvey, no, I just thought about something. I did a video on this a while back. But I want you to look into this, and maybe you can do a video on it. I did a video a while back called 100% Proof Blacks Do Not Commit All the Crimes. And what I want you to go look at, I want you to go to FBI.gov, and I want you to go to Table 43.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one I want you to get. And it's arrest records by race. And I want you to look at it, and it's enough for you to do all kind of videos off of. Because supposedly we the most violent people in America, and we do all this other stuff. But yet, I want you to look at who's arrested more than who. Who commits more crimes than who? Just look at it yourself, and then you probably want to do a video on it. Because when I did a video on it, them racist trolls out. per capita, no. Raw data says this. When I did a video about single parent households on my other channel, and I showed that white women had 800,000 children out of wedlock, and black women only had 400,000, or they got mad at that. You know, and I'll just show the facts. You know, and just the thing is, if you present facts and show the proof, we aren't the most corrupt. We aren't the most criminal. We aren't the most taking of the government and everything else. You know, we actually want to get along with everybody, if you think about
it. That's our problem. I'm going to tell you something. When somebody dogs me out, that's it. I don't have nothing to do with you. I don't want to talk to you. Leave me alone. The problem is, as a whole, we have not been educated or been told our history. Some people want to pretend as if the things that happen is one-off things. Like, when you said something about Michael Vick, Michael Vick went to jail longer than he's supposed to. They took his original contract away. They told him he can't have no animals. He had to do PSAs about dog fighting. There were people who were professional ball players, commentators, and they want to kill Michael Vick, not hurt him. Kill him. Nobody said a thing over a dog. And black folks should. This will tell you how silly we are. You know, we should say. Y'all remember them dogs that y'all claim y'all like? Those dogs are biting our women's breasts, our children's genitals. You know what I mean? That's how you throw it back. Because if blacks were smart, let me rephrase that. If a certain group of blacks were smart, we would throw that red back in their face. Say, you know what? It's a reason why blacks don't respect animals to the spin, because y'all use those animals on us. I guess you forget the videos and steal pictures and stuff. Maybe blacks don't like that kind of stuff. But see, we're too afraid to call them out on their points. Like when they say we're the most violent, you should say, tell me when the last thing you heard about a black guy shooting up a movie theater. Tell me when you heard about a black guy shooting up a school. Tell me when you heard of a guy killing kids for shits and giggles. Then watch them start studying. Well, y'all gangs. I said, yeah, of course. If you don't have jobs in the community and you're giving little boys and little girls guns, or you taking the parents out of the home, of course there's going to be a vacuum there. But then when brothers and sisters like myself start talking about how to deal with it, you guys are being too violent. You guys need to just talk to them, put them on a timeout.
Yeah, that's wrong. That's another video and showing itself. But brother, appreciate your calls. I got some other callers holding on. Want to get in their comments and everything. But thank you.
All right, appreciate it.
All right. Eric Cole, 310, you on the show.
Okay, good afternoon, gentlemen. And again, I want to thank you, Mr. Advice Show, for what you do. My name is Tony Jordan. I'm calling from Los Angeles.
All right,
and,
LA.
I just want to say I'm very familiar with Mr. Sterling. I'm a native, And I watched that whole thing go down with him in the housing discrimination.
Hold on a second, brother. I got somebody just sent me a thing in the chat room on Ustream saying the Heat is now protesting.
Well, now who is protesting again?
The Miami Heat. They're protesting against Sterling.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm
looking this up right now as we speak. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I got a tweet about LeBron and them doing something about that a couple of hours ago. But the thing of it is with Mr. Sterling, you know, we have to kind of read between the lines. Now, I watched this whole housing discrimination thing go down out here about 10 years ago. And I'll say this much. Here in West Los Angeles, the Jewish people predominantly own all the multi-unit apartments. And if you're black and you call on a vacancy, if they recognize that your voice is black, they tell you they don't have any. If you go in person, they say, well, we need $75 to run your credit. Now, on that tape, he said that I live in a culture. So let's read between the lines of that. Now, what culture is he talking about? Is he talking about the professional sports owners in America? Is he talking about the Jewish culture, the white culture? And then another thing, too. The girlfriend, now I'm like this, and I'm hoping I don't offend anybody. I want to know which side is she claiming. Is she claiming the black side or the Latino side?
I can tell you which side she's claiming.
It don't matter what side she claims because he don't like both of them.
But he likes the Latin side. See, let me say this. Not to mean to interrupt your brother, but I know I don't like using the word, but I got to say it. She's an exotic nigger. See, that's a turtle. That's a fetish for them. If you listen to what he said closely, he acknowledged that she's black, but also said, well, people think you're a white girl or a Latina. That's why his friends was checking on her.
I don't even like that term exotic because it's like you ain't no animal calling somebody exotic.
But that's what you know what I mean when I say that.
I know what
you
mean.
But what I'm saying is they
see
that's the term they use now. I hate it too because it seems that you somehow other of another world. Somehow you're not the norm. You know, and it sends messages to our women. But when brother says something about the owners or Jewish or white, we know what he meant. He meant Jewish because that's why I keep saying, why won't the media play that second part in this entirely? Because he tells on himself about it. I'm sorry, man.
Can I?
Okay.
Well,
hold on a second. Hey, Ms. Gabrielle is joining the show now. How you doing, Ms. Gabrielle?
Oh, I'm fine. I thought I was trying to say something, but all right. The reason why they're not going to put out the Jewish part, or there's a good reason behind that. Because they know that he would get so much hell if they were to speak about any other group. But you can say anything you want to say about a black person. You can call black people niggers. You can sit there and say, oh, y'all stupid niggers, I can't stand you. Take your stupid ass back on the field and make me some money. Because that's basically what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And he can get away with it easily because the black community isn't going to do anything about it. Yeah, well, we'll get mad about it. We'll complain. We'll say things. Well, maybe there might be a protest march or two. But after a couple of weeks, no one's going to say anything about it. No one's going to really make a big fuss about it. Yeah, he might lose temporarily. But after that, I'm pretty sure it's not going to really make that much of a difference in his life.
Well, you're absolutely right, and I'll tell you why, because I've been watching these Jewish folks out here in Hollywood my whole life. And at the end of the day, you watch and see how they spin this thing. Now, the commissioner of the NBA, Mr. Silver, his wife and all of them, they're going to do something to keep it all in the family, and the media is going to do something to get this doggone thing out of the media. Now, they're supposed to be having a big protest rally downtown tomorrow. I got an email from my employer. But, you know, I want to comment on one thing you brothers were saying earlier about black men being weak. What I notice is, and I'm 48, and most of the young brothers that I deal with that's around 30, they seem like they are oblivious of how white people in general hate us. You know, I try to bring it bring it to the attention. I got this one little young brother. He made me so mad. I said, listen here, man, you can't tell me, you can't look at this particular white individual here and read his body language and his demeanor and tell that he does not like black people. But I'll say something else what's not helping the situation. Black YouTube, now you guys know who I'm talking about, Mr. So-So Man R. He's just too doggone divisive. We got too many people on black YouTube that is just, you can use the word cooning or whatever, that's dividing the race.
Mm-hmm.
And
plenty of them that will be quick to jump on the race of white people's side. I'm not going to name names because I'm not trying to start any of them.
Yeah, we ain't trying to. We don't do that here. But yeah,
we're not gonna name names. But there have been some that have made videos in defense of George Zimmerman. There's been some in defense of Paula Deen, and so on. I've seen it so many times. It'll be the same.
And Donald Sterling.
Well, you know, again, like I said, this media. We know who controls the media. We know that Jewish people control the media, and I'll say this one thing. I hope this don't happen, but if we ever have a major race riot or any kind of civil unrest here in this country, it's going to be through the Jewish-controlled media.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, they have sat back here and they have analyzed everything. Because I take myself, for example, the days that I decide not to watch local news or do any internet or just turn the media off, it seems like I feel better on those days. And
I believe you. I know what you mean, because you can decompress, because every day you hear some negative, negative, negative. And that's why I was saying earlier, why we age so fast, because we're bombarded with all these negative images, and we see it, like you said, you're 48. I'm 38. So I'm in between. Me and you, we're probably with Generation X. And, you know,
exactly.
we grew up in a certain point. You grew up in this, you were a baby of the 60s, child of the 70s. I was of the 70s, child of the 80s. So we saw that racism firsthand. We had our parents in our homes telling us what to expect, what to look out for. Like you said,
exactly.
People, our brothers and sisters can't tell. I can tell you within the first 5 minutes I'm dealing with a racist. And I don't go into detail because we keep telling everybody I'm game plan, but I can tell within the first 5 minutes, you don't have to say nigga. You don't have to call me boy. It's certain things you do physically and verbally and facial-wise that I can tell when I'm dealing with somebody's racist. But
well,
see, our brothers
and sisters, you can't pick up on the body language of it. There's something wrong with you. I mean, certain things they say, certain conversations,
exactly.
Certain looks.
Exactly.
And I purposely don't reveal that on YouTube. I don't reveal it because I do not want
me to neither, me neither.
I never reveal
it. Me neither, because I never reveal it.
When I'm talking to these under 30-year-olds, a lot of them that don't have dads or grandparents or great uncles, et cetera, I tell them like this. Pray to God for wisdom. Now, one thing God has given me, and 95% of the time I'm right, 5% of the time I'm wrong. I can read these racist people's body language and demeanor because my great uncle told me, he was born in 1917, and he was a Southerner. He said, when you talking to that tatty, you look him straight in his eyeball. And if he can't eyeball you,
you know what you're dealing
up.
With.
That's
what my father said. He said, look him straight in the eye. They would never look at you. They get to fidgety. They start to sweat. It stinks. Like Avasho said, there's been videos, people ask me, look, how can you tell? I'm like, no, I ain't going to tell you, because there's some other things you can pick up on. But like you said, it's a certain age group, and I don't want to lump an entire age group or a group of people, but it seemed like something happened after 1980. It seemed like I'll tell you what happened.
Now, again, I'm an L.A. native. I'll tell you, when that crack epidemic hit, and you let me know if you're running out of time, I'll tell you what happened out here in L.A. When Richard Pryor got burned up, the word on the street was, well, how did Richard Pryor got burned up? Now, this is like 1978, 79. Well, they say he was freebasing. People were saying, well, what's freebasing? So it was explained. That's when that crack cocaine took off. Now, the crack babies are 31 years old today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? When they was distributing the crack, I said it would take a department the size of the United States Commerce Department to distribute this stuff to every city and town like it was. We
mm-hmm.
had this stuff in major cities. We had this crack in towns where the population was only 200 or 300 people. That crack cocaine took us out. And now what's taking them out today, I hate to say it, is this doggone smartphone and everything else that go with it. These young people, they don't want nothing.
But internet
right,
fame, pretty much, that's all they care about.
Now,
you know something else
to
talk about?
It's
hey, you know what? Something else that y'all not think about? And Harvey, I want you to look into it. The white community is having an epidemic right now too, similar to the crack. That's a meth epidemic. They having it bad.
And that crock that want to eat your
flesh. No, not that.
No, that's not. I mean, that's
only
been a few.
What?
Crystal meth is. No, crystal meth is tearing the white community up. Not there are some cases of people using crocodile in America, but it's not. But because of the side of
no,
like it is in
Russia.
It's not going to be that big.
Americans are way too superficial for that.
Well, yeah, it's true. But I think the reason why I brought that up is because, like I said, I don't know how it is in other states. Cause I said you had to take it state by state. But it seemed like Illinois, they throwing that hard in Illinois. They don't like reporting it in the media because it makes them look bad. But I do agree with you, the meth addicts, because Oprah started talking about before her show out there, and then Lisa Ling did something on it. And you know what it gets me? They try to make them like they're supposed to be sympathetic. Wait a minute. Y'all put black men and black women in jail for crack all these years, destroyed the black family. Now you got these meth heads that are like, oh, my gosh, these poor people.
Oh, they're locking them up. Oh, let me tell you something. They're locking them up. Like, they don't report this stuff, but they getting locked up left and right with their meth labs so they can make their stuff in the house. And all this other stuff. See, they don't report all that stuff, but when you're talking about the crack labs and the crackheads, you show them all day long. But they don't report the meth heads that's going to jail all day, every day. Like, well, the company that I'm work for, on the way there, you see a bunch of meth heads walking around. A bunch of them. And they ain't black.
But see,
Walmart, you can see it.
But I'll say one thing. All these designer drugs, whether it's the meth or the crank or whatever, that goes to show you how cold that white boy is. He designed that meth because he's trying to undercut this dope coming in from South America. He wants to be able to create something that he can create here. That's why they're legalizing marijuana in all these states, because they want to put the Mexican marijuana growers out of business. And if they can design a synthetic drug over here that they can get people hooked on, where they won't have to get any coca from Mexico or wherever, they will do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Okay.
So,
brother, what they said, I need to get on to some other callers. Like I said, it's a whole thing. We ain't got that long on the show. We appreciate you calling, brother.
All right.
Thank you. All right. We got a lot of calls. I want to get all these calls in. Area code 260, you on the show.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm all right. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm calling about the subject. I think it's crazy. I'm a female, as you can hear. I'm not a big sports fan, but I'm just so appalled at how many men are sports fans, and black men especially, and they haven't said anything about this, or they don't feel a certain way about any of it.
Let me ask you a question. How do you feel about the black men refusing to take a stand on this?
I'll say,
how do you feel as a black woman that the black men is refusing to take a stand on this? Talk about the black men who are directly involved, like the players themselves.
I feel like they don't have a backbone, like black people in general don't have a backbone, or I don't understand why they play that game they played the other night. And it's a bigger picture because when in the audio he says I have an image, you know, for them, or they, there's people that are watching me. And I'm like, well, who is they? Who exactly is they? You know, people that are as wealthy as you are too? you know, that feel that way, that have that much power and money, and they feel that way too. And it's like, what mm-hmm. will make us move? What will make Black America move? You know, and like this is for the men, especially. Like I would think, I thought that the men would have something to say about it, some way to feel about it. But I hear a lot of people saying, well, you know, they make so much a year, they're not gonna do anything. So I'm like, you know, just what will happen in the Black community that will make us not want to march, not want to go out and, you know, talk about it, have a meeting about it.
We got to stop doing all that talking. We got to start doing. I mean, the only weapon that we got mm-hmm. is money. That's your weapon. You can march all day long, but if you're still giving Donald Sterling your money, what was the good of that march?
Only yeah, march exactly. you do is make your feet, make
that's
you have sore feet, tired legs.
That's the problem with Black people is we're so caught up on talking. Because we'll sit there and we'll have lecture halls and we'll do all these things, or we'll just sit there and speak for hours and hours, and we'll get fired up, and we'll just be like, oh, yeah, we got to do something. But when it's really time to do something, nothing ever happens. And that's why people
right.
keep getting away with it.
This was time to do something. This was a time to do something.
I know
this
for a fact
time
nothing
to stand
gonna
up.
happen. Nothing
you know,
happened. And that's why he's going to somebody
we
should have
been upset when the stuff happened
thing.
With Tobia. Jordan Davis, I don't know what we were doing. I guess we just, I don't know what we
you
did.
Know, you know what I think the problem
is? In the face and we kind of just sitting around.
I think the problem is with us is that we figure that as long as it ain't me, I ain't worried about it. You take care of your business. And that's the problem. It's too many individuals. You know, I mean, everybody said, well, as long as it don't bother me. And, I mean, it's funny how, like sister just brought up Jordan Davis, how we wasn't crying about Jordan Davis, but when them 12 white kids and teachers got killed in Sandy Hook, we on Twitter and Facebook making videos, and oh, my God, the poor kids. But when something happened to our people, we like, what they do wrong? And when hearing the sister saying that she's upset that the Black man didn't step, that bothers me, because when I interact with a Black woman, you know, you have to ask yourself, did she question my manhood? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It just, think about it. I mean, I don't know why. As a Black man, to hear our women say, yo, I question our manhood. I mean, and I'm going to say something. I don't want to offend nobody, but this should have told us right there. Look how fast the NBA ball players were so accepting of a guy coming out. So what? He likes another guy. But look how fast Kobe and all Michael Jordan and everybody yep. took to. But yet this everybody's quiet on. That tells you. It somewhere in the last 30 years, our manhood has been taken away from us, or the images have been flipped. Because it's bad when you have sisters in the community saying Black men grab you know what, and speak up.
Exactly.
That's bad.
Because there's only
it shouldn't have to say that.
We shouldn't have to. And the problem is that there's a huge problem with there not being enough men in the Black home. And that's why nothing is getting done, because the Black family is ran by women. And there isn't enough, you know, there needs to be more men to be able to stand up and do something, because we just don't have enough. And that's it's a shame, because our male community, like the male in our Black community, are so weak. And I'm not blaming that entirely on the men themselves. It's just that our structure is just all off.
Yeah, it's upside down. When they started pulling fathers out of communities in the 80s, that's when the damage was done. Like that's why I say to Black folk, I say don't get on this bandwagon of supporting this drug war, because people need to understand that drug war helped to do this to our community. Because think about it, you had a lot of men that could have been entrepreneurs, doctors, lawyers, teachers, police officers, they locked up. And then when they did get out, they couldn't get a job because they had to put down on the application they was in prison, or they don't have enough skills or enough knowledge to maintain, so they get angry and go back and commit crimes. So you have this vacuum of women having children without the father around, and then Lord forbid if she ain't any type of woman herself, now you got nothing but dysfunction around these kids. And then these boys grow up seeing this feminized role, and they think that's the norm. And so now you got a lot of feminized dudes in the NBA, because there's no way that the NBA of the 1960s or 70s, the brothers would have stood for that. They would have said, we ain't playing. And my thing is, these guys are millionaires. Somebody wanted to say, we're gonna sue you, all you got to do is say, hostile workplace. That's all you got to say, because that was a hostile workplace environment. Because the moment they found out the owners felt that way about them, they said, stick with it. You know what, I just can't keep my mind on the game. I'm psychologically drained. Use their words and techniques back against them. See, that's our
exactly.
problem. We don't know how to, excuse my language, ladies. We don't know how to mind fuck them. We don't know how to mind fuck them. They know how to get us. They figure these Negroes put a shiny car in front of them, put some jewelry, promise them they're going to be a celebrity, and bam. I mean, think about it. For 30 years, these black ball players, yo, we knew. All of a sudden, Barkley's here, we knew. Why you didn't say anything?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I mean,
it's a doggone thing.
See, I don't know if anybody brought this up already because I came in very late, but I saw someone on YouTube talk about how the sports industry is basically modern-day slavery and the entertainment industry, too, because it's like the blacks are basically working. I really don't want to get racist here, but it's like the blacks are working for the whites. And, okay, we're not out there in the field picking cotton, but we're on the basketball court making them money that we'll never even see. The money that athletes and entertainers get is nothing compared to what the team owners get and what the people that are actually running things get. So basically all we do is we get our shack, we get our chitlins and whatever, our little animal parts, and that's we're satisfied with that while they're out there on the big plantation house enjoying themselves. Mm-hmm. They don't have to
brother,
anything.
And they always making money off of black people.
I mean, a brainwashed nation. We're really brainwashed, and I think that TV and the media have a whole lot to do with it. There is nothing I can think of, can't think about, and then it won't go back to TV. You know, like in dark-skinned girls or this, or, you know, black dudes or thugs, or they might rob you. And we get all that from TV, I feel like.
You know, something else you're talking about TV?
Don't ever show us something positive.
You know, you're talking about something TV? Somebody was hitting me up about Lupita Nyong'o getting put on People magazine by being.
I did a video about that.
And you know what? I'll say I'm not impressed, and it kind of pisses me off for one, because who are you to determine who look good? And I noticed something too. Why you never promote a dark skinned African American girl? You think about this. They always go to run to Africa to adopt kids, but you won't adopt no African American kids. Why is that? You're promoting a dark-skinned African girl, but you want to promote a dark-skinned African-American girl. You notice that?
Brother, I did a video about that. Actually, I've been doing some videos about that, and some of the sisters are starting to see what I was talking about. I said, let me break it down to you. For years, you had beautiful dark-skinned sisters in Hollywood, Angela Bassett, Alfie Water. You had Vila Rashawn, I believe. You got Gabrielle Union. Now, these women are older than the young women that they be trying to hype in Hollywood, but they don't age, right? Now, all of a sudden, you get some and Lupita is a beautiful woman. I don't want nobody to misunderstand what we're saying, but I find it suspect that once you put Halle Berry up as the ideal beauty because of her mixed ethnicity, then you put one that comes from Kenya, and then what you tell the black American women, you're not beautiful enough. So sisters get in their head, let me go out and put the weave in my hair. Let me lighten my skin to appropriate their characteristics. And then white women turn around and appropriate black characteristics. This is why we confused about identity. This is why people will say, well, Kim Kardashian is beautiful, but she has the same attributes as a black woman. And then people stop saying, well, she's not black, she's not this, because now we are confused. Anybody has melanin, they come from us. You don't get them. I mean, you can find big. I mean, I just tell a friend of mine, just because a white woman got big hips don't mean she got a big ass. She just got wide hips. You know?
Yeah.
Just because she got big breasts don't mean that they're natural. It's utter confusion, and they do this on purpose. So now they saying the ideal image of blackness is from Africa, when you've been told all your life that Africa is ugly and nasty.
Mm-hmm.
So now when they saying the black American women, y'all don't fit the image. So now those women who are further subconscious or weak-minded are going to try to appropriate European characteristics. This is why when I hear black people say European features, I'm like, since when Europeans have a nose like black and full lips? This is why Hispanics and Italians and some Asians can blend in, because we don't know who's what anymore. And it's nefarious. It's a nefarious thing they're doing, but people don't pick up on it. I mean, if you watch TV shows, they always put the little black girl, dark-skinned black girl in the wig. Why not let her have a natural hair? And then they do put a dark-skinned black girl. She's
fat. More and more sisters are pushing that natural hair now.
She's loud and she's nasty. I mean, they never portray a black girl that I can relate to. I've never, yep. I can't
okay? I think Lupita is beautiful in her own way, but I don't look anything like Lupita. And she's not a representation of me. And I know that she's my black sister too, but I don't look anything like her.
But she's
and
the new
I know
token.
A lot
but
of black
look,
girls.
She's looking like she's taking the new token black chick role. See, Beyonce had
a
long
she's
while.
Now
it's being put on to, I noticed with Lupita, because I noticed like they kind of phasing Beyonce out, not because Beyonce's talent going anywhere, but they phasing her out, and now Lupita's about to take her place. You know, it's only be one token black person at a time. It can't be more
well, that's
than
why
one.
Bill, that's why Bill O'Reilly got a mad off of Beyonce, because one day I was telling my Fred, I said, they asked me, like, Harvey, why is Bill O'Reilly going off of Beyonce? I said, she been on top longer than they thought she would. And then Beyonce is married. I got issues with Beyonce. Everybody know that. But Beyonce is a mother. She's married. She did everything that we tell our women and brothers to do. Wait till you get married and have your children. Beyonce is dancing that video with her husband. But he's not going after Miley Cyrus. He ain't going after Pink, or I like to call Stink. They hold up all day on TV. But they want to go after Beyonce? Then you go pick Lupita to be the representation of black women. First of all, she's African-American. We had to change. She's really an African-American. She's from Africa, living in America. African-American. We're black American. We got to quit letting people put these terms because it causes nothing but confusion in our community. And
yeah, you know what I think about that? If you think about it, not just us. So you say Asian-American, Mexican-American. Everybody else
they never
is
say European-American.
Yeah, we never say, they don't like they the only one that belong, but everybody else has to have something else to it. They not American, just them.
And the irony is, blacks was here first. We had people that traveled that circumvented this entire globe. And
Africans were here first before they came over here. I mean, they got a book called "The First Americans Were Africans." I even did a video about that. And like
we
I said, they got pissed
so
off.
We don't even have a real nationality. We're called black. Black is just a color. Everybody
we're not even black. We're brown. That's the thing.
We're brown.
And that's the reason why we're not black colored.
And see, we didn't let Hispanics take that the term brown. Wait a minute, what the hell are we then? You come from us. A lot of people get mad when I say this. People say, why do you keep saying the one-drop rule? Because now they want to flip it. Because once Obama got in office and they realized, well, he has a white mama, but what do he look like? What does he sound like? What do he walk like? Halle Berry, if you never told that Halle Berry had a white mama, y'all just said that's another nigga woman.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying?
Well, Halle Berry had some work done, too. She had some work done to her, too, because when she first came out, she looked like
she had a full nose. Her skin was dark. She had a wide nose. Look at Jada Pinkett, like she got two gold balls in the cheek.
Who's that? Luther Isaiah. Go watch that one. See how her nose was back then.
Look at Jada Pinkett. Look how she got two golf balls in the cheeks. Plastic surgery. Our people, we got to deal with self-hatred. That's why I tell these brothers, I say, look, I understand if you want to criticize a sister for doing something silly, but don't sound like a Caucasian because they think we're – because I tell a sister, if your hair is naturally long, you wear it proudly. If your hair is short, wear it proudly. Stop saying you're bald. The only bald-haired people I know is Lex Luthor and Kojak. That's all I know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we need to stop letting people put these terms on us, and we need to stop letting a small group of idiots among us have voice. Lil Wayne, Nicki Minaj, and the rest of these fools should not be speaking on our behalf. They are paid coons.
Yep, and that's the problem, because there's so many people that want to do the same thing they do, be in entertainment with a positive, a positive outlook, but they can't get signed. They won't sign people that want to say anything positive.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
To be in our community.
About being signed. We live in a day and time where you don't need to be signed. I tell young dudes who's trying to rap or trying to sing, don't go to no label. Get hot online. You can put your own mixtapes out. You can put up your own album on iTunes and sell it. Stop giving them labels your money. Even Manny Fresh said in the interview that in the next, 10 years, labels going to be obsolete, and they know it because we can do all our own stuff on our own now. We don't need them no more. Yeah, that's great. That's great.
All you got to do is go to the Best Buy and see the CD section got so small, it's barely non-existent.
True, but I guess I mean mainstream, the ones that we see on TV, Lil Wayne and Nicki Minaj, all those fools, it's like that's what mainstream media is going to show. We won't see the people that are, on YouTube doing their own thing or whatever that got something
positive.
That's not
true. That's not true.
They're going to show the fool.
Let me bring up some people why I say it's not true. Everybody talk about him now, but Chief Keef, he put out that one song online and got hot off of that. Justin Bieber, believe it or not, Bieber, started off online, and now you know who he is. Soulja mm-hmm. Boy started off online, now you know who he is. So you can get songs hot online, and then you can become, like, mainstream or whatever. I mean, you don't need them no more. And I tell a lot of black people, we need to move away from, like, he was talking about the Jewish-controlled music industry and do it ourselves. Do it yourself. You be your own label. I mean, we got all the equipment now to make all your music. We got graphic designers that's basically you can for hire now, do album covers or whatever. We don't need nothing from nobody anymore. We can prosper our own stuff. But, you know, the killing mm-hmm. part about it, when black people, let me tell you the funny part. When black people start talking like that, then you have some white people come up and say, well, that's racist. How? I'm talking about doing something for yourself, working. How is it? Everything's racist? If you talk about what racists say about you, you're racist. If you talk about, oh, let me tell you what else I've been told here the past few times, I'm going to address that in the video. I'm racist because I only call black men and black women brother and sisters, and not white people.
I got to address that in the video.
Okay, no. Well, you can. If anybody says that to you, you can always say, well, white people call themselves brother. Like I've seen... what is it, Dog's a Bounty Hunter? He's like, yeah, brother. You know, guys like that, they'll call other white men brother, but they wouldn't call a black man their brother. So it's the same thing.
I'm not going to go that far.
See, that, and that's the same problem.
They're
always trying to
tell us.
No
other group of people does that but us. I mean, predominantly us. That'd be like me walking up to an Asian and saying he racist because he speaks Asian dialect and he won't tell me what it is, so he's racist.
The problem is everybody wants, but you know what, brother,
yeah,
what it is everybody want to be us, and we make stuff look mm-hmm. so easy and so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is, people hate our guts, but yet they want to sing like us, dance like us, dress like mm-hmm. us, cook like us, sleep like us, and we never throw it back in their face. Like when people say, why do black people get to say nigger? And I would say, why do you want to say it?
If you claim not to be racist. Another guy come to my website told me I'm racist because I say my people. I should say everybody, not just my people. Let me forget you. If I want to say, yeah, black people, my people, that's who I grew up with. That's a group I'm part of. So, I mean, I do
well, you know what?
That.
You know how I get them? I say, okay, since you want to say you are part of the family, so the next time somebody attack us, I want to hear your voice out there condemning it. That shuts them up mm-hmm. altogether. That's why when the gay community keeps saying, our issues are your issues, really? So, I have a question. Where were you at when our brothers and sisters are being hung from trees and homes are being set on fire? Where were you
at
when our brothers and sisters
are
being tortured in school?
Where are they with Donald Sterling?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You ain't got to go that far.
Yep.
You're talking about Donald Sterling.
Yep.
You're going too far.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, I've been looking. Don't think I ain't been looking. Because I've been typing in the search thing on YouTube, Donald Sterling. I've been trying to see who's been making videos.
And you notice the ADL is really quiet. Southern Poverty Law is quiet. All our allies, the gay community, everybody, the domestic community, everybody's quiet. I told you, when we get our nigga moment, everybody gets quiet all of a sudden. When they get their nigga, come on, black people. Remember that the Duck Dynasty when the gay thing didn't catch on? So
yep.
They kept saying, well, he said something about the blacks. Wait a minute. At first, y'all just focused on the gay community. Even that gay guy's name's Dan Savage. He said, don't do that to the black community. He said it was more insulting what he said about the black community. But he said, don't push your agenda first, and then they don't catch on. This is coming from a gay man. He said, don't do that. Now, there's some gay people out there call gay people on their crap, and some Hispanics would say, wait a minute. All of a sudden, now y'all don't want to stand with us. Like when I hear people say, we don't want to break up the families, but you've been breaking ours up for 500 years.
Uh-huh.
So I mean, we can't send them back to their country. They broke the law. If I break the law, I go to jail to pay a fine. They break the law, they get driver license and grants and business loans. See, we need to stop fighting each other and understand we got a common enemy. Because I'm telling you, for the last 8 years, the black community has been quieter than I ever seen. We ain't said nothing about
because we got so. I think the biggest wool has been pulled over black people's heads is Barack Obama.
Oh yeah,
the biggest wool.
Very big ears. Oh, you mentioned Obama for a second. Now remember when they asked Obama about Kanye West and he called Kanye a jackass on multiple occasions? when Chuck Ty asked him about the owner of the team, he didn't call him a jackass. That would have been a perfect time to call him a jackass.
Yeah. He did talk about Donald Sterling. I saw that.
I mean, think about it for a second. Well, you know, he's ignorant. You know, let the people.
Oh, but they're gonna be pissed at him anyway, though, Harvey, because he did allude that America always and still got a race problem. They ain't gonna like you saying that part. Chime in. Oh, on Klan News Channel. Oh yeah, they gonna O'Reilly and them. They gonna chime in on that.
Mm-hmm. And see, last week when that guy said about us picking cotton, we should be back in slavery, that's when Black America should have said to the Democrats, hey, why haven't y'all come out and just called those Republicans that were supporting that guy racist? No, we don't know it in his heart. Really? You mean tell me that guy talking about
we need to pick cotton. I say, forget that. We picked cotton for a long time. It's your turn. Pick it.
But you know what the sad part is? Those fools don't realize that the rich white folks don't care about them either. That's the jacked up part. They too busy thinking we're their enemy. We're not the enemy. Because blacks, I'm going to tell you, blacks love some white folk. We love white folk. I mean, we don't want to call them out on their junk or nothing. And I mean, case in point, 30 years they known this man was racist in the NBA, and nobody said anything. Nobody said a word, but now all of a sudden, we knew. Barkley, go sit down. Because what did you tell black people when we was talking about Trayvon Martin? Blacks can be racist too. Kobe Bryant, go sit down. Just last month you said something. I told y'all about Nicki Minaj in my videos. Wait a minute. You was running around with the pink wigs and dildos and everything, acting crazy. But when you crossed the Golden Mulatto, Mariah Carey, they said, we're going to put that nigga back in her place. Instead of you making songs about the races, you made a song about looking-ass niggas taking an image of Malcolm. See, we scared. They do stuff to us, and we turn on our own people. Look what Imus calls them sisters nappy-headed hoes. Instead of us boycotting, what do? We have a BET forum where we sit there and start blaming each other for what white folks said. I'm like, who's the original baby daddy? Who's the original baby mama?
I'm telling you what, sorry, man. Like, it's a few of us
messed up.
It's a few of us that's free. And the best thing for us to do is let our voice be loud. And believe it or not, we do have hope. And I'm going to tell you why. Believe it or not, those same young people that we talk about, some of them are actually waking up to a lot of this stuff. Believe it or not.
Some of the emails I get, the
comments I get from some of these young brothers and sisters, you know, it do give me hope. That's why I don't give up on them completely and say, you know what, forget all of them. I'm fine. I ain't got to worry. I can see all this stuff. They ain't going to mess with me, you know. So,
now, you know what, I don't mean to cut you off, brother, but I was going to add to that I do get a lot of young brothers and sisters coming to my channel saying now they see it, because a lot of them say they don't have a mother or father in their household to tell them these things, and because a lot of young brothers said, wait, I see it now, because you heard my video, I say just step back and just look, observe, don't say nothing, just watch, and everything will fall right in your lap. And people would see what's going on. And that's the thing. That's why we get these trolls coming to our channels, harassing us, because they're afraid that, we ain't telling them to go out there and be black nationalists. We just telling them, just step back and just observe. Go to your library. Listen to the radio.
You talking about them trolls. Let me add to that. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Like I said, I've noticed, I would say starting around, now I'm not quoting it. I'm quoting this for a reason. Around 70,000 subscribers, and I was at that count. And ever since then, I noticed I'm having a whole lot more of those types come my way. And I here lately, they've been trying to figure a way to try to claim my voice in some sort of way, like, oh, you seem like, why can't you speak for us? Like, wait a minute, let me go ahead and address you for something. Black man at the end of the day. Hey, who supported me from the beginning was my community. Who called my show was my community. They still support me to this day. I'm not going to be these, like, Negroes all of a sudden and just turn my back on the black community just because I'm getting other people to watch now. Nope, I'm the same guy. I just want to make sure I put that out there because they got too many people that do that.
And I appreciate the shows that you got on YouTube. I watch your show on YouTube all the time. That's how I got the number to go ahead and call tonight because we need to have more of that and see more of that. And I post a lot of your videos to Facebook and stuff like that just because I'm 25 in my generation, I always feel like I'm the crazy one sometimes because everybody else, a lot of people, you know, in our generation, they mind it somewhere else. And it's like they don't see it. So
you know what, sister?
I
feel the same way because most of the people on YouTube jaw jacking, we're in our 30s. And that's the sad thing. We supposed to be the ones supposed to be passing the torch on to you. Cause, I mean, we're not that far apart, you know what I mean, age.
Uh-huh.
But y'all that generation, y'all are millennials, and y'all a generation where the TV is manipulating images and words. Because I don't know if y'all noticed, every year they show less and less about the Civil Rights Movement, but we got over 900 channels. We have a History Channel, the Bio Channel. They don't do that anymore. They made sure they don't even show Eyes on the Prize anymore. I mean, they do this on purpose because they do not want you brothers and sisters to wake up and say, damn, these people have been playing us.
Yep.
Because they're afraid the black community is going to wake up. That's why these companies run away from this dude. They're not doing it because they think he was repulsive. They're afraid that we're going to take our dollars someplace else.
Yep.
Money talks. People don't understand. The black community has probably got more power than anybody else, but we don't know how to spend it with each other.
So we got the biggest mouth.
Yeah,
that's
and then the thing is, here it is, everybody got a direct deposit, right? You mean to tell me we can't go in 200, 300 deep and say, how many black business loans have you given out this month? And how much money did you give out? If you can't give out any black business loans for legit black business, you got to get the hell out of our neighborhood. And see, that's how you get power. See, here it is. Y'all have to understand, you have people who come over here from so-called third world countries, can't speak, but they got a wig shop, they got a gas station, they got a grocery store, and you sit there saying, we've been here how many generations, and we got a bag?
Yep. The whole hood be black, but we don't own nothing in it.
And they don't live in our neighborhoods? That's what get me. By 9 o'clock, they out. They out.
Harvey, the thing is, what you're talking about, you're right. Black people have a lot of money. We're not broke by a long shot. Trust me, we're not broke. Because why do you think these companies say, oh, wait a minute, I don't want nothing to do with sterling, because they don't want to lose the black dollar. Black people only hold money in their hands an average of 6 hours. We consume a lot. We spend a lot, okay?
Yep,
and also, we have what they say about next year, a $1 trillion buying power. These corporations know that. So they like, oh, we want some of that money. Because that money don't stay in the black community, not because we don't have it, because we don't keep it there. We don't bring it there. Like, I was talking to my wife the other day, I said, why is it that, just not even black people, but, like, everybody don't do nails. Why only Asians got that sewed up? You ever notice that? Like, I see sisters doing hair. Why sisters don't do nails? I never figured that out.
There's people going in there buying all that.
There's actually, I do know a nail shop that has a bunch of black people in it, but those are so rare.
Yeah, they're so rare.
I mean, it depends
on where you live at, but for the most part, that's the problem, is that blacks don't support other black businesses, and that's the reason why there aren't a lot of black beauty supply stores, or there aren't a lot of black nail salons, because I've been to black nail salons before, and they've told me that it's hard to get black customers because black people will be like, well, I don't think that black people can do nails. Only Asians can do nails. Or
see,
I don't trust black, whatever.
See, my thing, I'd give anybody
more
a chance.
People go into the businesses if there were more businesses, like whoever just said, you know, with the banks. The banks are not giving black people loans to go and start a business either, so there aren't a whole lot for us to walk into. Like, there aren't a lot.
But also too, about us as black people, it's a game to that loan stuff, and credit is a big thing that affects that. And we aren't really taught how to protect our credit, even how to fix our credit either. I'm working with a company right now on my credit, and like I said, because I went through a divorce, my credit was like in the low 500s. Now my highest credit score right now is like 678. It's because I'm working with a company to help me get all my stuff taken care of. So, you know, I mean, but when you're uneducated about credit, which we aren't educated on how to get money, how to keep it, how to use it as a tool, we just taught to survive in the black community. That's our biggest problem.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, brother. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay, versus, you say the white community, they set their kids up to be successful. by teaching them about money, by giving them opportunities to do all this extracurricular activity, send them to college, do all this stuff they do to make sure their kids keep money. And we don't do that. As black people, we'd be like, oh, 18, shoot, I'm done.
That's true. I'll tell you something else that we do that's something that they're doing now. I don't know if y'all noticed, but around tax season, you got to start getting a bunch of phone calls from credit bureaus, right? Now, a lot of people don't know it's a certain amount of time that if you have something in your credit and they haven't come to collect, it's supposed to be wiped off your credit. I mean, it would still be in the system, but it's not supposed to have an adverse effect. So what people just go around buying your credit. Say, for instance, you did something, you was 19, and you forgot about it. It should have been over with. The statute of limitations is over with. They didn't collect, so be it. They go look at your credit report and buy that debt, and they call you. And they call you, like, after business hours, and most people are relaxed, and they scare people. And people get their Social Security numbers. They tell their address, and bam, that's how they get you. A lot of people don't understand. That's why they put the payday loans in our community. Because black folks are starting to use banks and stop going to currency exchange. And then when we do have businesses, the children don't want to have nothing to do with it. Like, this is, I hate using the term soul food, but that's what people want to call it. It was this restaurant that called Aetna's in Chicago that Dr. King and them used to eat at. And my parents would take me when I was a kid. And it closed up maybe about 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. And everybody kept talking about, why don't the children want to take over? They said they don't want to deal with the fast food or sit down. They said they could hire managers, somebody to manage that for them. All they did to do is collect the damn checks. But they didn't want to do that. Like White Castle, it's a family-owned business. I think somewhere they said the family is in a contract or the founders wishes that if anybody in them try to sell it, sell it to somebody or franchise it, they give up all the rights. They forfeit everything. White folks make sure they keep stuff in their family. That's why they have a legacy. We have no legacy because we're not business-oriented. We say we want to have a business, but we don't want to put in the effort. A lot of people don't understand it takes 5 years or so for your business to turn a profit. So as you make the first couple of thousand, I'm going to buy me a new car. No. You put it back into that business.
Yep.
You know, and you hire people that really want to work there. You got your standards set. You know, like I go to black establishments, And I look at the cleanliness. If it don't look clean to me, I'm not eating in there. You know, if your employees don't have a uniform system, I'm not going to eat in there. If your employees are not smiling at me, I mean, I've gone to black establishments. Everybody got just hey, we're going to take your order. Then the white person come in, they get the white voice all of a sudden. I said, that's a slave mind there. Some of our own people screw us over. And then you have people like Donald Sterling, your Donald Trumps, your Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly. They play on that. So it's nothing but division in our community. And we're going to have to make a decision one day whether or not to support a particular group of people. Because it's a small group of blacks that's keeping this dysfunction going. We need to be honest about it.
Yeah.
Until we
know, you're like your Alan West and your Jesse Lee Petersons of the world.
Yeah.
Your Larry Elders of the world. Them, you know, every time somebody happens, they go jumping on it. Oh, they're not racist. Y'all do more stuff to each other. Look at Chicago. That's all they talk about. Chicago. I said, wait a minute. I said, Chicago ain't the only city that got killings. They got a bunch of killings here in the East.
I'm from Chicago, and I laugh sometimes because a lot of those murders are not black people. They're people that understand they're white people. They're Asian, there's Hindu, there's Arab, they're straight, as gay, as rich, as poor. Some of those killings was Hispanics, and some of them were white.
Like, they got a bunch of Hispanic gangs there, too. So why they blaming black folks for all the killings?
Because of who we have in the White House.
I want to blame black people.
I laugh. That's why I did the videos. Like, I tell black folk, Chirac is not a cute name. I was in Iraq.
I don't like that.
Our community. Let me tell you something. I hate it. I hate it with a passion because I served in Iraq. And I'm going to tell you something. If y'all want to call it Chirac, then you know what? We need to bring the military in then. And I want to see people complain, call it Chirac did. Because black folks don't realize they keep saying things and doing things. They're gonna institute martial law. I'm telling you. If we don't watch it, we keep saying, like, I did videos saying that the police department needs some help. And I won't go into detail how they can do it because I ain't going to jail. I ain't giving them military secrets or nothing like that. But they can come in and assist the police department. They can go into them high crime areas and do raids on these stores to sell the drugs and guns. That's another thing. They know how this stuff coming in our community. I mean, how can you get a gun to a 12-year-old? They had to go to that corner store and let
them
go.
I'm going to tell you how a lot of drugs coming into the community. They had RT put out a report a while back that stated the DEA was trying to get information on other drug cartels. And so they allowed one drug cartel to funnel drugs to the city of Chicago just so they can get information on other drug cartels. And I say, well, look at here. I say, no wonder there's so much violence going on up there. And if you do a lot of research into the cartels, it's a lot of dope going up, going that way. You know, so you got poor people, no jobs, no nothing. All you got is a drug trade. Well, of course it's going to be more violence. Of course. And then the authorities don't care. They're like, shoot, isn't that them Negroes kill themselves? That's better for us.
And people don't understand that back
then. Let them go kill white
folks
on the river out of Chicago. Watch what's going to happen.
Let me tell you something. I'm from the west side of Chicago originally. And I'm going to tell you something. I still have friends and family live over there, and they gentrifying like crazy over there. And the only reason why they was able to do it because of Michael Jordan, Oprah Winfrey. A lot of people don't understand that Oprah Winfrey studio sitting on that side of town, and Jordan and them play at the Chicago Stadium and then later the United Center. And a lot of the Caucasians that was living in the suburbs or northwest Indiana got tired of making that long drive in the city. So the former mayor Daley made a decision to do something, do the opposite of what his father did. His father built the housing projects. He tore them down. Now, if you have, and I'm not saying everybody in housing projects are bad, but if you do have that element that's rough, where are they going to go? They're going to go into the community. And when they get into the community, they're there, and the police is not paying attention because you got police officers who don't even live in the community. And it's another thing. Have y'all ever questioned why there's so many white officers at night in our community? But during the day, they got the black officers out. I mean, it don't make any sense to me. That means there's something's going on at night. A lot of the killers going on at night. A lot of the depletions going on at night. So what happened is you have people doing things under the cloak, but it's not really under the cloak. It's just that people don't take time to sit back and just watch. That's why when I hear people talking about, oh, in Chicago, they had this many shootings. And I'm like, no. A lot of those was spousal things. A lot of times those accidental shootings. A lot of times they were gang-related or people doing this initiation thing. Because I remember about 4 years ago, the suspected gang was going around killing black folk. News didn't talk about that not one bit. But Bill O'Reilly and them.
From the city of Chicago, I'm just saying maybe you can put out news stories and videos from Chicago to combat the national media and all these other, coons that's talking against Chicago, and that they don't know what they're talking about. That's why I don't do videos out of Chicago, because I already know the propaganda on it. That's why I rather touch Chicago. I rather touch it now, because I see what it is. I said, no, I ain't going to be doing videos out of Chicago. Unless it's something outlandish, and I say, oh, yeah, I'm going to talk about this. But I'm not going to, I can come up with a video every day about Chicago, but I'm just not going to do it, because I understand when O'Reilly talking about Chicago 24/7 and Limbaugh and all them, I said, why that one thing?
That's why I didn't jump in that debate about the New York stop and frisk, because I didn't know the lay of the land, how New York is. I mean, I don't agree with it, but how can somebody from another state talk about what's going on? You have to talk to the people that live there. Let them give the firsthand account. Uh-huh. But see, my thing is, I keep telling everybody, if you don't live somewhere, don't try to be an expert on it. Yeah, if it's a murder, like Vajo said, yeah, we'll talk about it. Because there's certain things in my videos I just want to address. And people get mad at me by saying I don't have enough information. Like in some videos, people say, why you didn't talk about this? Well, there was 10 other people talking about it. I didn't want to become redundant. So it was a waste of time.
Sometimes you just
don't
talk about stuff because you just can't. I tell people this. Sometimes I can't bring a relevant commentary to this. So I'm not going to talk about it. Why you won't talk about this story? Why you won't talk about that story? Then that's when I tell them, why don't you talk about it then? Your stuff is free. Like, seriously. Like, I had this one, I guess, troll telling me, you never talk about the white-on-black balance. I said, why don't you talk about it? You got a free channel. You can talk about it all day long. You don't do enough positive stuff. Why don't you do it?
Yeah, I had somebody talking to me about the health care. I said, I talked about the health care when I first started doing YouTube videos. Why keep repeating the same thing over and over again? Then I said,
we choose what we want to do.
Yeah. And then we've already talked about it, because I don't know if you remember when I was talking about Miley Cyrus before that twerk stuff happened, and everybody kept saying, why are you talking about this? And I said, just give it a few more weeks. You'll be talking about it soon enough. And I kid you not, brother. It's like every time I say something's going to happen, it happens. And I don't know if you've been paying attention to my videos that hard, but usually I'm about, 96, 97% on point. because I sit back and I watch stuff. And people don't understand that me, you, and others, we sit back and we watch the news. We read newspapers. We go on the internet. We watch stuff that we normally, most people don't watch. Like I tell people, watch Fox sometime. I know it might piss you off, but sit back and listen to what the other side is saying. And then you'll know how they're being manipulated. And then you can put forth a serious discussion. Like, I have no problem, you know, doing videos on certain subjects. But I'm not going to go around doing the Black Power video because that's not my forte. A lot of my videos is about trying to get us to wake up out of this sleep state that we're in. Like, why don't you go after the white man? Look, I'm going to point out the racism, but I'm not about to go out there and tell you do something that you ain't going to do anyway.
Right.
That's why everybody's out there talking about Trayvon Martin. We're going to do this. And I told everybody, I said, give it 2 weeks, they're going to stop talking about Trayvon Martin, and nobody brings him up.
Yeah, because our attention span ain't about nothing. Like you said, last week it was me from Love & Hip Hop Atlanta with a sex tape. Now this week is Donna Sterling. It'll be something else next week.
Yeah, it just,
you know, I think that a lot of the economy got us, you know, distracted too, like Trayvon or Jordan Davis. Like, we work a lot. Like, my mom, I got little sisters. They are like 12, 10, 9. And when I had first come back home, I was in Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm in Fort Wayne, Indiana right now. That's where I'm calling from. That song was out that I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It stuff. And they was singing and just singing and rocking out to it. And I looked at my mom because she in the other room. She don't have nothing to say. I don't even think she have a thought about what's going on. I think we are so into what we doing with our everyday life. You got to work so many hours a week and then, you know, come home, cook, clean, pay bills, whatever, that we don't distract it to pay attention to what we need to be at the same time. Because, I mean, she's in the next room and she hear this, but it's on TV, the music and whatever every day, and she just, you know, I think that we really are distracted by our lifestyles too. That I don't know
well,
how
know
she
that,
did not notice something like that.
I agree with you, but you know what? I tell you something. My mother, when we was kids, and that's why I sit back. I do literally cry looking at these some of these young brothers and sisters. Our parents used to check our book bags because when NWA came out, you remember they first came out, how everybody had tape. They used to put the tape to record off somebody, and they passed around. And my mother and father used to go through our book bags. And one day I had it. I thought, oh, I'm going to listen to this. I'm going to put my Walkman on and everything. My parents saw it. They broke it. I'm like, that's not my tape. And they said, it's something you got to deal with when you go to school. Our parents used to be parents. Our parents was not our friends. All our parents had to do was give us a look. We got scared. Or if our mother couldn't get us, our father came in. One day I did something in school, and I thought my mother going to get me, but I was getting too big, right? So my father comes in, you know. He said, how you boys doing? Fine. We sit down. I'm thinking, oh, damn, daddy ain't going to do nothing to me. He waits till I went to sleep. Now, me and my brother had bunk beds, and you got your bunk bed against the wall. I couldn't go nowhere. You know what I mean? They meant business. These kids nowadays, put them on timeout, all you do is make them have strong legs.
Like I said, what's happening today, extreme liberalism took over and these kids and went wild. But, hey, sister, I'm going to go ahead and put you on mute because I need to get these few calls in because I'm going to have to wrap the show up. So, thank you for calling.
Okay, thank you for having the show. I'm going to keep watching. Y'all be cool.
All right.
You too, sir.
All right, let's see if I can get the rest of these calls in before we wrap this up. Eric code 954, you on the show.
How you doing?
How you doing?
Well, I want to speak on the subject.
Uh-huh.
First of all, Donald Sterling is a fucking racist. Well, excuse my language.
That's okay.
But the other thing is, you got these black ball players, Kuhn, Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, and DeAndre Jordan, and they sit there and just play. They talk about, and they give it an excuse about they just play for themselves, but really they just play for him.
Exactly. That's what they made money for.
You know, we agree with you. They playing for master. And I know I'm gonna tell you something. And I'm gonna tell you something, brother. To the brother is on the phone. I'm glad that a lot of black men are starting to call this out because I've noticed a lot of black men have issue with these guys doing what they did because it made the world look at black men as a joke. They said these dudes are worried about a damn championship, and they don't have a sense of respect or pride. So you know what? We just gonna sit the rest of this playoffs out. We'll wait till next year.
Plus,
I used to be a former athlete, so I know about the agents coming in. No, not professional, but high school, college agents are coming. pick certain black kids that they could control. If you strong mind, they won't recruit you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they want you to be a good slave. That's what drafting is, right? You're picking slaves, same thing.
That's why they didn't want them to union. They don't want them to unionize on a collegiate level, because the NBA and the NCAA, they got a deal now. They have a deal, because this is why they don't want you getting any perks. They want to wait to get to the NBA where they can control you. See, that's what messed them up. See, these ball players stop going to these universities like Duke and Michigan and go to black colleges. That's how you change the dynamic in the NBA and these owners. Because I'm telling you, Sterling is not the only one that has that view. He's the only one that got caught saying it.
Yeah, like why is it that they stop? You know, you paid attention. They stopped them brothers from coming out of high school going to the league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they stopped that, right? Like, why? What is it to you? If he's good enough to get into the league and the team want him, what's the difference? That's his education. That's what he wants to do.
You know what gets me? And what gets me, they don't say that about baseball players or hockey players. They don't tell those that we're going to the Olympics, you're too young. They encourage you when you're young. But when it gets to
Kobe
us.
Kobe came out of high school. Kevin Garnett came out of high school.
Yeah.
That's who y'all talking about here that I know of.
They don't want you to come to hardship, because they don't want to see that you have people 45 years old seeing some 19-year-old, a millionaire, and that irks them. That's why every time these brothers get in trouble, what's the first thing they say? Take their money away. That's the first thing they say. They figure we slaves to money. And that's why I just what Chris Paul them did yesterday and Doc Rivers, I have no respect for them. Because if the NBA, if they would have walked off, they would have been, you know, people would have said, okay, fine, we respect that. But across the NBA, they should have said, you know what, you owners need to get on your game. If you guys going to allow this guy to go along and do this, I mean, for 30 years? I mean, look how many ball players that came in and out of the NBA over the last 30 years.
Yep,
They knew it.
They all knew it. The only reason they saying stuff now, it's because he was exposed and they have to say something. They've been knowing he's racist. Because how is Stephen A. Smith going to say that, you know, Baron Davis told him when he didn't know he was racist, that he was racist. Now all of a sudden Stephen A. Smith said, well, you know, I wasn't surprised. He said, I think he said he laughed about it or something like that, I think Stephen A. Smith said. You remember when he said that? Yeah, he said he already knew he was like that. Said, but you never exposed him, though. You still was cool with him. So you just as guilty. Well, you don't expose them.
Because a lot of people, like the brothers right now called in, they ask these questions, and they having a hard time explaining, because you got to explain for 30 years, where were you at? What did you see? What did you hear? And then you had to start asking questions about the ownership that you work for, because better believe that Sterling and David Stern, them all just thinking the same thing, because you notice, as I said earlier, David Stern came out and said something about Rodman going to Korea, but you notice David Stern ain't said nothing about this today?
Yeah, they quiet.
David Stern at? Think about it. Quiet.
They know better. They know better right now.
I'm telling you. They made Farrakhan like a damn prophet tonight. I'm telling you. Go watch that video. Or watch one of my videos. You'll see.
All right, well, your brother, I appreciate you calling in. Let me get these other calls so I can wrap this up. Thank you.
No problem.
All right, this person holding a minute. Air code 832, you on the show.
Yeah.
Okay, you got something on top? Yeah, hello.
Yes, people just need to stop watching the NBA. If it continue to go on like this, that means that all through the NBA, it's been going on for years and years and years. Just stop watching it.
Be honest with you, bro. Like, to be completely honest with you, I stopped watching the NBA faithfully after the era of Jordan.
Me too. When NBC used to have it,
I'm gonna say the last championship series that I really, really watched was the Celtics and Lakers. When the Celtics won, that's the last one I really watched. Ever since then, I don't really watch the NBA. I may watch it here and there, but I don't watch it like I used to. Like, oh, I gotta be home because I'm gonna watch the game.
Yeah.
No,
I don't know if y'all watch. I don't know if y'all watched this show came on Cartoon Network called Boondocks. But the Boondocks predicted it. Yeah, they predicted it. They was like, if Martin Luther King were alive, what he would have said to black people. And at the end, they had all the NBA players stopped playing basketball and stopped everything. because it's the truth. Like, people just need to pay attention to what's going on, like they said earlier. Just sit back and watch, and you'll see them all reveal. And
oh,
the
yeah,
white people, gonna, and the white people who you think ain't racist, mention reparations to them. Mention it and see what their reply is. Just mention it.
Dude,
oh,
I
didn't own
no
slaves.
Mention
Africa.
Yeah. Mention
Africa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mention it. Mhm. And
you know,
see
how
all
do you
the
look?
Stuff that they had. Yeah, you'll see all the stuff they had inside come out. Like, oh, y'all just want free money. That money not free. That's what Kanye was talking about, blood diamonds. That's blood money right there. Because people actually died and everything for that.
I had this one dude, man, talking about on the job. I was talking about Africa. I said, yeah, I want to go, you know, I said, well, I have to wait till my daughter get older, but I'm going to take my family to go. I said, I got to see it. You know, I know it's a beautiful place. Oh, you never been there before. How you know? I'm like, so what? If I never been there before, I'm going. Well, I've been in the military. Ain't that great of a place? I don't care where you been. I said, they got places in Nigeria. They got other countries.
Yeah.
That it's beautiful. Like, so why in the world are you listening to what? You think just because the media show it to be grass huts, that's all that's over there, and kids are flying around them, or a poor little
you
African
people? You know, you should ask
crazy.
Him, why did you go? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If he said he went over there, why did you go?
Yeah. Man, they be switching the story. Like, Africa is a beautiful place. South America is a beautiful place.
Go.
Every place, yeah, every place has their bad parts. Even America. America is a beautiful place. They have its bad parts, too, which is called the hood.
Exactly. Yeah, and the trailer park.
Exactly.
So,
there's parts for there.
Ain't just
course.
The hood, now. Well, anyway, brother,
yeah,
appreciate
the hood, but you know what I'm saying. No
yeah,
problem, man.
Yeah, brother, appreciate
thanks.
You calling. No, I gotta move on. Appreciate you.
All right, thanks.
All right, thank you. All right, I'm trying to, I think after this, going to be two more, and I'm about to wrap it up. Another area code 832, you on the show.
How y'all doing?
How you doing?
Yourself? All right, I'm going to say this real quick, because I know you got a lot of time left. First of all, these players and Doc Rivers disgust me. And I grew up on the west side of Maywood, and I went to the same high school he did. So I'm really aggravated at him right now. But
I would say, I'm sorry, you went to Proviso East or was it West?
East. I went to East.
East. That's where I get a big stuck.
The thing that kills me about these players that I don't think I heard because I called in a little later. I remember them saying that their family and friends told them don't play. So that means these fools listen to the coach, their agent, their accountant, and the lawyer.
Yep.
So when they say they were playing for themselves, they actually meant they were playing for themselves. They looked at their portfolio and left their pride at home.
Yep.
And it disgusts me because when I just turned on the TV to look to see if they actually played, and they all looked defeated and beat. Even the Golden State Warriors look defeated and beat. Like, why are we here?
Yeah. Well, my thing was sticking me was Doc Rivers before they even played the game. How he said, well, we going to play for ourselves. We work so hard and this and that. And I'm like, what? He said, he was saying, like, well, they are angry. They're very pissed. They're upset. And instead of him being a coach and say, you know what? I'm standing by my team. I'm upset, too. We not playing. That would have made a statement. But, no, he won't go up there and just go.
You need to
go
check out what Doc Rivers' oldest son put on his Twitter account.
Yeah, I saw it the other day, man. Yeah. But his son is a mixed ethnicity person, too. So you have to understand
that
part, too.
I know that. But did you see? Did you read the part when he said, they did it because of my dad's skin? So, like, even in his own household, his own kids don't see themselves as black.
Mm-hmm.
So when I saw that, and then I saw what Doc said, I was like, "Oh, you're not."
Well, y'all need to send me that link. Y'all need to send me that link
because
I haven't seen it.
When you see that link, you're gonna realize he's scared of his wife. He's scared of his kids. He's scared of that owner. He's scared for real.
Well, I knew he would be in a good house, Negro, when he came out before the media. I knew that. I don't have to know them details. I can tell the way he was looking and acting. Well, you know, let's calm down, that type of stuff. It's going to be okay. No Nat Turner's here. Just be good. You know, Master going to make it okay.
And what bothers me to the utmost core at the end of the day, these players can say what they want. When they when they go to 32 cities, or no matter what sport it is, and people calling them a nigger in 32 different cities, this was their chance to stand up. Jonathan Martin should have taught them that lesson early. They had the whole blueprint, and they still didn't take it.
I'm telling you, man, our people are messed up. The black man has been feminized, and this is why I tell our young brothers and them, don't look up to these celebrities. They are bought and paid. They are paid entertainers. They do psych evaluation on these people before they get these contracts. Don't think that they're just not the agent or the sports team is talking to them. They get into them. They tell them who to talk to, how to talk to. Only time these people come in our community when they want to give out Christmas or Thanksgiving turkeys, man.
And yeah. You're talking about
the NBA. Well, the NBA gives back. No, the NBA does that for a tax write-off. They don't give it back.
Thank
price.
You.
I want y'all to hold this moment in y'all memory, because wait until next February when you're going to see some of the Clippers for the Black History Month on NBA Fed.
They're going to go to overdrive. I was thinking the same thing. They're going to be Black Power, Malcolm X, watch. You're right about that. And if Magic do buy the team, he's stupid. Because you're going to buy a team from a guy that said he didn't want you around? That's stupid.
I don't agree. Because if Magic was to take over the team, that would be good, because that would be another black owner in the league. That's the only reason why I look at it that way.
If those guys had any kind of cojones, they would say, you know what? Keep the team. You don't like us around here, you're going to get all white players for the rest of your life.
There you go.
Oh,
yeah, but it's
go
like
ahead.
You said, it takes backbone, it takes nuts or anything else. Like you said, you had a sister call in earlier that was disappointed in black men. And if black men don't realize that, hey, our women are disappointed in us because we don't stand up for crap. Now, like I tell people, I know more black women that got more fight in them than black men any day. That's why I don't mind working with black women on anything, because at least I know they'll fight for something. Black dudes want to have ego, attitude, want to fight each other. But when it comes to Donald Sterling, you want to duck your head.
And that's why I'm sorry. No, go ahead, bro.
I love the fact that black women have said that. But at the same token, I love the fact that these dudes pumped out on national TV to a degree, too. Because now we can see, the world can see. We told you fools that these guys were punks. All these ballers and entertainers and actors and politicians, from the president to Chris Paul, punked out all in 2 days.
You know what? And now I feel vindicated. For the last 3.5 years, I've been getting all kind of hate, saying that black Hollywood is a downfall. Everybody like, you hating. You want it? No, I ain't hating. Because yesterday, they could have took a stand. President Obama could have took a stand. He danced around it. He had no problem calling Kanye West a jackass, but he wouldn't call this guy who showed his racist cards a jackass. You see, I mean, we sit back and we have allowed our people to be fault. I'm sorry. I can't get down on these people like that.
I hear you. Well, brother, I appreciate you calling, because I got two more calls, so we wrap it up.
Yeah, all right. Y'all have a good one.
All right. Thank you. All right. Let's see. Area code 843, you on the show.
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah. I'm calling, but you know, just want to discuss this Donald Sterling. And, you know what, it's disappointing to see that a lot of black folks now are somewhat shot and butthurt, because what black folks' problem is, you know, they're really comfortable, you know, because they receiving money, they working for them, and of course, Barack Obama's the president now, so that kind of like, you know, they're kind of getting them off of focus. But when that statement happened, you'd be surprised how many black folks actually shocked to see it's 2014 and people still have that racial ideology. And some of the people I kind of talk about to let them know that, you know, racism does exist, something in my mind wanted to say, I told you so, you know?
Go ahead and say it, man. Don't hold back and say, I told you so.
But they look at me like I'm a joke, I'm a fool, or like this, man, you these days over. You know, this week I kind of talk like, I don't care, you know, let's just go and do so-and-so, you know, do some, you know, hate to say, but niggerish stuff, you know? But when a case like that happened, a lot of people got shocked. But the thing is, though, I didn't even bother to, you know, complain about it, because I just kind of hip to it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because trust me, he's not the only white man that think like that. A lot of white men think like that, but when you with them in your job, they probably shake your hand and talk and probably have a whole conversation with you. And in their mind, they might be like this, look at this little nigger. You know, so much, you know, they have that kind of mind. And
oh, yeah.
When they're not with you, they be like, they be talking with they. I even caught one of them in the act, actually hear them, and they see me, they kind of whisper, but they, you know, in a way. But they actually talk greasy about us when, you know, we not around.
Of course they do.
Yeah,
they love
talking
about
us. And they too, and I hate to say this, but black folks are, majority of black folks are too stupid to understand that.
Yeah, you're right. That's like the
right
question.
Still want to work for them, still want to pat the, you know, we call it thinking that they're a cocoon way to get a pat on the head, but that just make it worse because when you acting like a bully, get kicked. You know one thing about bullies? If you act so passive with them, they're still going to bully and keep kicking you. You got to stand up.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not a militant guy. I'm not militant or anything. But
then what's wrong with being militant? There ain't nothing wrong with that.
I mean,
if you feel you need to be militant for something, be militant. Like we act like, because they militant for everything they do.
And you know what? And when they do something to us, one thing about them, they don't apologize. Even if they're complete wrong, like Trayvon Martin, none of them apologize.
But we got to apologize. Please.
We got to apologize for everything.
I'm
even
sorry.
If we're in the right,
like
we got to apologize.
Apologizing to you. Don't apologize to me.
And then if you want to call whites out about their racism, well, racism go both ways, you know, like this. I say, really? Yeah, because y'all racist. I said, what you say that for? Because y'all got HBCUs. I got Miss Black America. And guess what I say? And guess what I did? I shut one door. He got mad one door. He's like, he want to curse me out. But I said, let me stop. The N word about to come out. And I say, you know what? Look it up. And the person over them is a white man, so we don't name them. They do it. A white man is over that stuff. BET. We causing Miss Black America. They have a white man over that. And that shut them up.
I love when they tell me that. Like, one time I had one on Twitter telling me, you know, y'all are racist. I say, you know, let's do a picture comparison. I want you to bring up all the pictures that black people, the NAACP, the National Urban League, and all them other groups you say is racist, pictures of them hanging white people from trees. Then I bring up all the pictures from the Klan hanging black people from trees. It's how many pictures we can collect. Let's go picture war. If you can bring the same amount of pictures I can collect, I'll say they're racist. They shut up every time.
Or show us fighting people, pushing them out of our neighborhood. See, shut them up real quick when you do that. See, that's a tool they use because that's something the right said, calling reverse racist. Believe me, if blacks truly were racist, white folks wouldn't be the fucks on this planet.
But see, them tactics they're using work on the young black folks. They don't know how to counter them because they have no sense of their history. So they do shut down and they shut up. And then they start repeating it. Well, black people are racist. Well, if you have no sense of history, you're going to say that. Because you're regurgitating the puke that they, you like a dog is licking up puke off the floor. That's what you're doing.
And I also noticed this, that, you know, they ask a question, well, blacks doing this, blacks are low in, you know, single birth rate. They create more crimes. They do this and they do that and so on and so on.
That's
so,
a lie.
I mean, look at Africa and look at Detroit. They end up with black folks, you know, infested. You know what happened? Things terrible. I guess I told them, okay, if black folks do this and do that, we think, give us solutions of what should happen. Just give a solution. In fact, go to black neighborhoods and stuff, talk about them and give them a solution. You know what they do? They'll shut up and just don't do nothing. Cause you know what they really want to say? They want to see us exterminated. Because I even heard one of them in one of those racial websites. Because I studied them, you know, if we know, I don't want to say my enemy because, you know, I got white friends. But in order for you to kind of know what the white racists say, you got to kind of go to websites like Stormfront. They have to say this. They didn't wish this whole place would be rid of niggers or the whole world be wiped out with niggers. They have to say that.
You ain't got to go to Stormfront. Go to Huffington Post. You see the racists there, too.
Wiping somebody out. Genocide.
They love to use that term on my page a lot. Like, you know, you're just promoting white genocide. They're like, shut up.
No, you're talking about doing
genocide. You know what? Let me tell you, if we wanted to promote white genocide, every black man got to sleep with a white woman. That's it right there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't get on there and say, hey, black men. I'll even ask one of y'all, go have a bunch of babies with a white woman. That's all you got to do.
Or either.
You can say black women, too. Go have a bunch of babies with a white man.
Exactly.
There you go.
Or either if a few blacks were to do something wrong, all y'all like this. Or if one of us, if one of them do something wrong, we know not all whites are like that. You know, he's just an asshole. But I just, like I say the same, you know, I'm not like that. I deserve to kill. And they get mad.
I'm still waiting on them profile young white males, teenagers, because they shoot up all the schools, mass killings. You and I walk down the street. We don't do none of those things, but we're profiled. And that's why I tell people, they say,
they never call, they never call him a thug for doing that. Nah. They never call him a thug. Oh, he's troubled. He has mental health issues. He was raised without a parent.
He was spoiled.
Don't get me wrong. I don't dislike nobody. You know, I got white friends I talk with, but a lot of people won't agree with me, but when it comes to, I just keep my eye open. You know, I just don't give them a full link. I don't really give my own people full link to a degree. But with them, you put it this way, it won't be the same as, like, okay, if I was with a group of whites, you know, don't expect the same as you would be with your group of your own kind, you know.
Agree.
If it's nobody,
I agree with you.
I mean, you just got to kind of think about it, and a lot of blacks don't think about it. And when they get themselves into trouble, just like that guy got dragged in Texas, you know, ripped off on, he's just kind of naive to certain things, you know. I mean,
yeah.
I ain't going to say this, but I give advice to all of this, and a lot of women even just agree with me on this too, but I don't care. When you get kids, don't teach them to be racist or nothing. Teach them the reality and to be aware about racial and white.
In other words, raise them to be conscious-minded. Like, you know,
yeah.
Like I said, I have my little baby going to be born in July. You better believe that little girl going
to
know.
To be honest with you, whites actually raise their kids, most of them raise their kids, teach them all racial slurs. I mean, when I was like a little boy, I learned racial slurs from them. And I don't even know what they mean. They had to look them up. They had to ask
them. You know, that's
questions.
True. That, you know, I'm going to tell you why it's true. Because a couple of years ago, when my other daughter's elementary school, one of them actually called her a nigger. And I had to go up there because of it. So that is true.
Before they even walk, they know, like, nigger, wet raccoon, jigaboo.
Yeah, I had a former neighbor of mine say, Mommy, that's a nigger right there. That baby was still in diapers. Couldn't read, but knew how to say nigger.
Learned from his mama.
Because a lot of us come from the mothers. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not making a generalization, but Caucasian women are more racist than their male counterparts. A lot of them push the male to be racist. You don't believe me?
Remember the Titans?
Yeah.
Remember that movie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Listen to Sarah Palin. Listen to Sarah Palin and her eldest child talk. Listen to
that's the same female that Glenn Rice was giving the trial to snake to, though. She didn't want people to be knowing about that.
But you know what? But I'm gonna tell you something. That's why she's so mad, because she bought Obama, but she can't go out and say it. That's why she have a mad on for Obama. You can tell because she said a woman that old talking about the president like that. You can tell. I'm telling you. I they still flirting me. I'm like, I'm not looking at white women like that. I mean, if I acknowledge one is beautiful, I say it. But I ain't looking at them. They get fat and they look out the door. All of a sudden, we look good to them. Not me.
They do. They say they'd be saying that white women is the best looking women in the world. I be seeing them online. They say black women, they ugly, nose wide, their hair don't look long. They say, I hear them saying all that, and they say that's no one a black man, one a white woman. They say that's what racists be saying. And they saying that they talk dirty.
But anyway, with that said, brother, I appreciate you, because I got one more call, so I can wrap it up.
All right, man.
All right, thank you. All right. So one more call, guys, and we wrap it up. Area code 857, you're on the show.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, this is Kiss Mac.
Oh, hell.
How you doing, man?
It's like, what's up? It's like you got me at the last minute, man. I had so much you on my mind.
Hey, hold on. I got to ask you a question. What was up with that comment you left on that video, bro?
Which one, about Hitler?
Yeah, that whole comedy level. Yeah, what you said.
About what I said about Hitler need to get the judge. Stan, what I say? I said Hitler. He should have got the whole job done, right?
Yeah.
I should have let him worry.
I'm like, man, kids, Mac. I'm like, really? That's kind of messed up, bro.
Well,
I know you a man, but that's kind of messed up.
I mean, if you read their history, you know that they financed the slave trade, right? You know that.
Yeah,
I mean,
know,
there's a book.
I know a lot of people's hands are in that, but I don't generalize people like that. I mean, come on, that's kind of
You also know that the Ku Klux Klan was one of the co-founders was Jewish too, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not denying evil acts. I'm not denying that at all.
I'm saying Jewish people are no different. Actually, they're more sneaky. They're more sneaky than, to me, from my experiences with them, they're more sneaky and treacherous than, I mean, not all of them, but they're more sneaky and treacherous than, and they're not real Jews, but I don't want to get into that. They're not, they have no connection to Abraham whatsoever because Abraham and Jesus, they were all black people. But I'm just saying that those, if you read throughout the history, they have always used black people. Like, I mean, I heard the conversation. They already said it. I mean, I'm sure you know all this, what happened in the 1960s. They are known for, I mean, this is what happened. This is one of the reasons why the Germans put them in concentration camps because they were economically sucking Germany dry. They were getting the money for themselves, you know. So I have no love for them. From my experiences here, because they control a lot in the Boston area too, they raise rents high in the black neighborhoods. And right now we're going through a gentrification thing. They're trying to get the blacks out of areas like Roxbury and trying to move whites in. So I'm the type of person, I don't, like I said, I have no mercy for them, man. You know, when I see stuff happens to them, like the World Trade Center towers, the kids getting shot up in school, I just don't have no money because the people are evil. I just don't, man. Now, I'm saying, now, you do have good whites. I like a white, some people like John Brown. That's a white person I like. But you don't find too many whites like that.
Well, you know, you got people like Tim Wise. You ever listen to him?
Yeah, I listen to him. He's all right. I like the one who wrote The Pale Horse. I can't think of his name right now. He was killed. Cooper, he wrote Behold the Pale Horse. He exposed the government and all that.
Oh, I know you're talking about the one that exposed the drugs and all that, the guns. Yeah, I know you're talking about the one in the 80s. I know you wore glasses. I can't think of his name. I know exactly who you're talking about.
William Cooper, I think his name is. William Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, like, one of the people that you had on, I've been studying whites for a long time. You know, information that's been passed down from family to generation. I go on their website. I said this before on, was it Dark One's son or somebody else's? I said that I believe that whites and these other people of color, you know, the people that y'all think are down with black folks, I believe that one day many of them will team up with whites and one day try to gang up on black people and try to annihilate black folks. That's just my belief, you know. So I just watch them. Even in my martial arts class, my instructor, he's white. He tries to get in my head because I don't talk about racism around them. You know, I mean, we show respect to each other, but he tries to get in my head to try to figure me out. You know, but I feel that one day just something's going to happen, and I don't know, man. It's just going to be like a major race war. So, I mean, blacks can keep kissing up. They can keep kissing up to these whites if they want to, but it's going to come today. Like, I'm talking about when the economy gets really, really bad, blacks are going to be, as always, they're going to be the first one they look at. They're going to be the first one. I mean, people can act like, oh, things are getting better and all that. White people ain't changed. They've been the white people from back in the 1500s are no different than the white people today. They're the same people. So, I haven't even put out no video, man. That's my mistake. I need to stop putting out a video, man. Because y'all got to start looking at my picture. I want to show y'all what I look like and just, you know, just give out this info, you know, help folks, you know. But I wish I had more to say, but it was good. I was listening to y'all all night. Y'all started dropping some deep info, you know, and I'll be looking at y'all videos, you and Superboy's videos and the other people's, what's her name, Jane Mitchell, what's her name? The other female co-host.
You talking about Miss Gabriella?
Oh, okay. I forget, man. So many names. But yeah. So what's next? You about to get?
All right. What's next right now is we about to wrap the show up. That's what's next. So
we went almost an hour over. So it's time.
Yeah, there you go. So yeah, we definitely gonna wrap it up. So Kids Mac, thank you for calling and spreading all your love and joy for the night.
All right,
man.
I'm out.
Hey, Harvey, before we wrap it up, man, you want to tell everybody how they can find you and everything?
Oh, wow. They can find me at Mr. Superboy 223, or they can find my older videos at Mr. Superboy 222. And also, when you go to my – right now, it's a troll out there pretending me, but they've decided to put up I Hate Harvey. So if y'all got any of those messages, ignore them. Just go to my channel, send your comments, and I'll try to answer them the best of my ability. And just look out for me to do more videos. And I am getting some information because I'll be doing my blog talk soon. So, you know, just keep an eye out.
And also, let me add to what he said about people impersonating your channel. All you got to do is go to the person's channel. If somebody like Harvey uploads a lot, I upload a lot. If you don't see a bunch of videos on there, then it's a troll. So all you got to do is go to the channel and see, because a troll can't put up every video like we would. So that's just kind of one way to do it.
Or if they do try to copy your videos, because there are some people mirror videos, just look at the number count. That's another way of looking at the number count and their subs.
Yeah, there you go. Was Gabrielle, got anything to say before we wrap it up? Miss Gabriella, is she there? I know she was there. Miss Gabriella, you hear me? Well, I guess you don't. All right. All right, everybody. Thank you for watching the show. Thank you for listening to the show. We went over almost an hour today, but I wanted to make sure I got in all the calls that I could. We'll definitely be back next week for another topic. I don't know. I kind of just try to go with what's going good for the week and try to talk about something that's really relevant. What I'll be doing right now is here in a few is to put all my videos up for the day that you can go ahead and watch them. I want to thank Harvey Superboy for coming on the show tonight, very on short notice at that, so I definitely appreciate you there, brother. And, you know, at any time, you're definitely welcome back to come chime in with us on whatever you like to talk about. We are cool on that over on this end. So I want to thank everybody. Have a good week and everything. Stay up. And, man, let's keep an eye on this Donald Sterling thing, and let's see how that's going to turn out.
Be safe, everybody.